and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo.
Hi, Mo.
Hi, Addie. How are you today?
I'm just super fantastic wonderful.
Gosh darn, that's terrific.
Except for my car broke.
Oh, did it?
Stopped working.
Oh, really?
Took it in the mechanic. I didn't know what was wrong with it. Mechanic comes to me after about an hour. Tells me that my Curtis axle is broken.
I have 4 Curtis axles.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
But not one that gets a chance to go over.
No. None of them turn over.
No. None of them ever.
Jesus.
Ever do.
Wow. Are they juniors?
I think so.
It's important when the adults are talking. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I hate Hunter.
Well, Huntor.
Huntor. Fuck me.
No.
Curtis Axel.
Who?
Michael McGillicuddy.
Who?
Michael McGillicuddy.
Joe Henning.
Joe effing Henning.
Yes.
When they showed his Titantron there, when Heyman did the big build up and everything, and they showed the Titantron, they didn't have the name yet. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, shit, good. Joe Henning. Fuck you. Joe Henning.
Yeah, well, obviously from the music, and you're a big fan of the remix of what you put in.
I love about that. That's my favorite part of the package at this point, because I love Mr. Perfect's music.
Yeah.
And
so you put it in as our new theme opening, at least
for this week, yes.
Yeah.
But the remix, but it
needs lyrics, though. Maybe we can write some together. That's what I think we should do. You take the first verse.
Okay. Mom, your mom. I just have thanked your mom. Thanked your mother. Yes, I banged your mom. Gave me herpes, but I banged your mom again. It's a work in progress.
I bet not much will change.
No.
We'll come back to it later in the show.
Okay, we'll revisit it. But, Curtis Axel. I guess they wanted to call him Kurt Axel, and then realized that sounds like Kurt Angle.
That was the
logic behind it. They were going to call him Kurt Axel. And actually, if you watch his debut on the little Titantron, the side gimmick there, when it first came out, it said Kurt Axel. And then I think when he came out for the match, it was changed to Curtis Axel
the second time
he came out. But in the story Meltzer is talking about now is... When
who?
Dave Meltzer.
Who's that?
He's in Newsweek.
Okay.
No, New York Times.
Okay.
New York Times.
New York Times.
New York Times.
That doesn't matter.
Anyway.
I don't know.
Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
But WWE Magazine. He was Vic Venom.
No, he was Vic Venom.
But the thing with the story they told is that because Paul Heyman and Kurt Henning were very close, and when Henning was going to... from AWA to WWF, he didn't have a name. They didn't have the Mr. Perfect thing yet, and he was talking about, well, what should my name be going there? And Paul Heyman came up with Kurt Mayhem, is what he said it should be his name.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that sucked, too.
Yes.
As does Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel does, I mean, I at least...
I don't like it at all.
I don't like it anymore than
Michael McGillicuddy.
I like a little more Michael McGillicuddy. To me, Michael McGillicuddy sounded retarded. Like, I don't know of a name. I actually can't think of a worse name than Michael McGillicuddy.
Truth is that Michael McGillicuddy does sound retarded. That's a Kurt Axel. And Dolph Ziggler sounds just as stupid as these names, but you've heard it for so long, and the guy is so good at being on TV that you don't realize it anymore.
Well,
same thing would be for Curtis Axel or for Michael McGillicuddy if he had gotten a push under that name. Joe Henning is still probably a better name, but it's just strange to me. You won't use the name Joe Henning, but you are playing off the legacy of the Henning family.
Well, let me...
Though they said they're not. And I think this never works. This is why I don't like the music. It's a great remix, and it's a great song.
Yeah.
But I don't like that song, I don't like the name, and the reason why is because it's like the same thing as Ted DiBiase.
I'm fucking money, I'm fucking class, yeah.
And that's Heath Slater.
Oh, right. But yeah, I come from money, that one, yeah.
Exactly, it's the same thing, and it never works. Anytime you take a person, and, I mean...
Well, the closest thing, Kurt Axel to me, exactly the same, Rocky Maivia.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same thing. And it never works. I mean, it did work 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It worked often. For a second guy to come in and play off his son. But even then, you would have a guy like, you know, Greg Valentine wasn't the same as Johnny Valentine.
No.
You know, I mean, it just doesn't work, and that's why I don't like about it. Plus, my other problem with it is, it's Joe Henning. And seriously, he's not that good.
No, and they love him. And believe
since when?
They always, apparently, Hunter has always loved him. Which
since when?
Oh, since always.
He showed on Monday at least.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the shock of it all, is that Triple H is apparently a fan of this guy.
He's a 33-year-old jobber.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
And that's, yeah.
And I don't see, and he's got to shave the beard.
He does.
Because he looks like a mini Matt Morgan.
Well, he just, yeah, he looks like.
He looks like Matt Morgan. He looks like a small Matt Morgan.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, or these Wyatt family guys even, you know what I mean? Like these beards.
Or like Mike Morgan.
Or Mike Knox, or, you know, anybody with those big.
Or tonight when we saw Gunnar on, Impact.
But Gunnar looks way better than this guy.
Oh, yeah. Way better. But it works more for him. Like, Matt Morgan is who he really looks like. But, I mean,
yeah,
Matt Morgan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
I can't see him.
I've seen him as a. I just don't think he's good enough. I mean, I think he's a good hand in the ring. I think he's a perfect guy to have a 10-15-minute match on the road with people and help to teach guys.
Well,
he's a good hand in the ring where he can make guys look good.
I think he is
a good chopper.
I think he's more like Benoit, that he can be carried to a good match.
Maybe.
You know, like we had with Tyson Kidd on NXT.
I mean,
we knew the straw that was stirring that drink was, but it was a really good match.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually, that's what
well,
got...
Well, he is a good hand. His positioning is good. His timing is good. His offense looks good for what it does. But he's not his father. His father was a really special athlete and a tremendous wrestler.
His father was one of a kind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's not as good as his dad. And
nor should he be. I mean,
no. But he's not even as good. Like,
Is there anybody on the roster that's as good as his dad?
Sure. Yeah. A couple of people.
Hey, there are a couple.
There are a couple, but not many.
Not many.
He's one of all-time greats in the ring. But that's the thing is, I just don't see him, like, his ring work is maybe in the top third, not top 10%, top third, I could say, possibly. His charisma level, in the bottom third. That's where I see him. So I just, as soon as I saw this, I was like, I just don't like it for Heyman, because I just think Heyman goes from CM Punk and Brock Lesnar to
Michael
McGillicuddy,
yeah.
And it just seems to me like a waste of Heyman. I mean, Heyman's got to be
with,
you know.
I see.
It was like, remember when they put Mantar with Jim Cornette?
Yes. Or Salvatore Sincere with Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just was all of a sudden that he wasn't just with the main event guys.
No, and I understand. Oh, I have just received an email from the anonymous Raw general manager.
Oh.
So I left it on. I just turned it off. What I was going to say.
If you're going to have them, though, fucking put them over.
Well, the theory of it to me is again, you put this guy with Heyman, and it makes him credible. Like back in the early '80s, we'll strap this guy with Grand Wizard or Freddie Blassie and blah blah, right?
Bobby Heenan,
right? But I mean, and that's what I wrote down when I was this Kurt Axel. I literally wrote down right here Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah.
And that's what it's seemingly starting to remind me of is, like you said, a really big jobber, and it's.
I think he kind of has been at the level where he should have been. Like, I would look at some guys and go, Jesus Christ, they're just dropping the ball with him. I never had that feeling with Joe Henning.
No.
Like, I just never had the feeling like, oh, he's getting screwed. He's better than this. Just like I really don't have that feeling with Ted DiBiase.
There was always that talk, for both of them, was, you know, how high people were on him. You know, there was always that talk when he came on to the NXT there, the same one that Bray Wyatt was on and Javier is the second one, and I think he was on the first, but the second NXT he was on.
One, yeah.
And there was just all this talk about before he came on about how people were really, you know, seemed pretty high on this Joe Henning kid. And Yeah, I just never really showed me anything. Now,
but at 33, he's almost the same age as John Cena. Like, he's, you know, I mean, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is technically when he is in his prime. But, you know, I mean, we've seen a lot of guys younger than him when they're starting to get their push, and we're seeing them on TV. 33, I don't know how long he's going to be a main eventer. If he gets to that level, how long will it take? Like, it just seems to me like it's just, I don't know, I was just like.
Well, again, good and bad. Again, I'll go good with the music. I'll go good with the theory, at least, that, with the theory that you put him with Heyman to, you know, to maybe give him that rub. But I'll also give you that, at the very least, again, Kurt Axel or Joe Henning isn't showing up on TV for no reason. He's been debuted as Paul Heyman's new client. He seems he has a purpose and a reason.
No, he came down to the ring. He was ecstatic. Dude was ecstatic.
Oh, yeah.
He literally goes, I have arrived. Like, he's been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's going to do his best. I just don't know that he has it. I just don't know. I mean, he's, you know, is he better than an Alex Riley? Sure. Is he as good as a CM Punk? Hell no.
No, and
he's a Rick Martel, but maybe not quite as charismatic.
Problem with this
Billy Gunn.
Yeah, Billy Gunn, Bart Gunn kind of thing. But
yeah.
The problem with this is that
Bart Gunn's probably better.
Bob Holly, maybe
yeah,
not.
Like,
you know,
like that's kind of
the problem with this is that you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
And Hunter fucked that up anyway.
Well, they both did. I will give him, when Michael McGillicuddy got slapped and he did not get up and stare him back right in the face, to me, well, I don't care. Whoever booked it, I'm not saying it was Henning's fault. I'm just saying that killed it. That was it right there. You know, when he could say the big boys are talking, the adults are speaking, and he could smack him and he stays down. And I think it was a half a shoot when Heyman looked at him and went, get up! Like that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he didn't that didn't come off like anybody important. And then they had the match, and he was just another guy being able to kick Hunter in the corner a couple times and largely get his ass kicked until Hunter collapses outside.
And Hunter, again, what is the point of all this for Hunter? Because where is he going? Where is he going with Heyman? It doesn't make any sense. It really felt like, I don't know, why are you making Hunter the star of the show? Like,
I'm hoping this is a
2013. I don't get it. And that's but you know what? The slap was bad. But just to go back to this, I really did think when he said, the adults are talking. It would have been so easy to say, Joe, you have incredible potential. You're a dangerous man, but the mood I'm in tonight, it'll be a mistake if you open your mouth one more damn time to me. If he had said that, it would have not buried the guy, but also made it seem like, you know what, I'm like just not the way I'm in. The mood I'm in, I'll go through anybody alive.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily bury Henning.
Bury him!
But it also makes Triple H seem really strong. And that was just the wording he needed. And instead, the adults are talking.
Hunter's incapable.
He's not incapable. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah, he's just not the guy to do it. He just never, I mean,
He was really pissed off. It really felt like, I'm pissed off that I have to do the job to Lesnar because it is the best thing for business. But I fucking should be going over because I'm Triple H and I'm going to get all my heat back and I don't give a fuck who I hurt doing it.
Well, then he collapses.
Yeah.
And, you know, if
I don't understand the angle or where they're going with it. Is he going to be on TV?
Well, he has post-concussion syndrome. And WWE.com, he couldn't remember being in the ring. He couldn't remember who he was having a match with. Or he was having a match.
Also, I hated the part where he said he's
Dolph Ziggler.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, but Dolph Ziggler's real.
I know.
And that's the other thing about it that pisses me off.
Yeah.
And this is both. But the other thing I also hated where he goes, tell the doctor if he doesn't like me being in there, he can find new employment.
Yeah.
I was like, they can't do that.
I know, that was my first thought. I'm like, oh, good, so there's a lawsuit.
Yeah, it's like, it makes no sense from a logical perspective.
Yeah.
In the world you're created,
I'm sorry.
Where people are suing each other,
yeah.
You can't. do that.
I would if I was the fat guy, the lackey guy, I would have come back and said, sorry, the doctor just wanted the number for human resources.
Yes.
Like, fuck off.
It was stupid.
It was
really stupid.
Yeah. That was.
I think this was one of the worst Raws I've ever seen. Like, I hated this show. I hated that my two highlights were actually when Triple H said to Paul Heyman, you know, close your garbage chutes. That made me laugh. The crowd had a little laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd had a little laugh when he said, when Cody Rhodes said, you know, if I got something on my mustache.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Everything else was, I think, awful.
I like Ryback's opening promo. I did like that. I think that was Ryback's best promo that he's cut.
Because yeah, he didn't. I was looking to see where they were hiding the teleprompters for him. And that's probably why he came across a little more natural.
Well, and also I liked Wade Barrett's 17th new music.
Yeah, actually, I did like his new music.
It's
more distinctive, and the fact that it doesn't have lyrics. Help. So if you were to write lyrics for it, I'll give you a week.
Give me a week, because I don't really remember what the song is off the top of my head. I just
maybe you should go back to second verse. What would you do with that one, with the Henning song?
Your mom, I just have banged your mom. Your mom was banged by me. Very sloppy, and I made her wet.
Work in progress.
That's good. I like that one.
It's evolving.
It's evolving, yeah.
Yeah. We'll come back to it later.
Okay, we'll do that. But, that leads, there's that ambulance match.
Yeah,
that they're going to have. Which,
that's fine.
Has there ever been a good ambulance match?
I think, didn't Show and Lesnar have a good ambulance match?
Did they have an ambulance match?
Or was that a stretcher match?
That might have been a stretcher match. I don't remember liking many stretcher matches either.
I think it was a stretcher match because I think he lifted up Show with a forklift or something.
Oh, yeah. I think, but anyway, it's... I don't know if it's against Brock or not. But anyway, it was Eddie, maybe. But anyway, it's an ambulance match, and don't care.
No. That's fine. It's probably going to be as good a match as The Last Man Standing.
Yeah, which, again, wasn't the worst thing they've ever done.
No, absolutely.
It's, you know.
It was decent. It's good expectations.
Yeah. That's right. So, and this should.
And as far as selling the pay-per-view, I don't think it hurts pies to say ambulance match. It's a rare enough match. There's enough intrigue in it. People don't see them often enough that they know exactly what they're going to get. So they'll probably just go, oh, that's interesting. And maybe some people.
Yeah, what has it been, about a year and a half?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Well, it's Kane and Cena.
And before that, when was the one?
Christ, it was.
It's not a Kane
and Kane?
Could be. So, I mean, it's not a bad stipulation.
Don't forget all those classic Mike Awesome matches.
Fat Chick Thriller.
Wasn't he was the career killer at that point?
Yeah, that's right.
That was his gimmick. Not the 70s guy or the Fat Chick Thriller.
Yeah.
He was going for the Brutus Beefcake record there, Mike Awesome.
Yeah, he might have beat it.
Yeah.
Beat it.
They should have. Did they ever hang out?
Who?
Mike Awesome and Brutus Beefcake.
I don't know. Did they hang out?
Well, they both lived in Florida, didn't they?
I don't know.
Maybe they could compare.
If they ever hung, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
you are a horrible person.
Unbelievable.
Did you hear about JR? Let's go back to Raw. Is there any more on Raw?
It was awful. Unbelievable how they're not keeping any fucking baby faces strong. Remember when Alberto Del Rio losing the way he loses to Big E was awful.
Right.
Terrible for him.
But then
Big E took the job to him on SmackDown.
Main event. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter at the end of the day, though. It's just, it's not good booking. you know, you had Sheamus win and Henry kill. You had Jack Swagger lose to Del Rio, then he loses to Orton, then he loses on tomorrow's show there to Daniel Bryan. So he's losing three times in a week, so he's back to being where he was a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, they have Ryback is the Shield, and Ryback, I guess, sort of Ryback, but even Ryback, not really. The Shield, and they lower them. Like, you're just not keeping any heels strong.
Well,
they don't have strong heels, and it's gonna fucking, like, babyfaces aren't gonna fight babyfaces. I don't know where they're going with most of this. It's, again, oh, Randy Orton's higher on the card than this guy, so he should go over. It's like, no, actually, Randy Orton's higher on the card than this guy, so he should put the other guy over so the guy reaches his level, so you have strong heels going forward.
At the very least on SmackDown, again, the Shield beat Kofi, Sheamus, and Randy.
Yeah.
There. So, again,
they're the ones. They're the ones who are, they're the strong ones who are kept strong. And even they, like I say, are, as individuals, are a little less, you know, they've taken a little bit of heat off them. They have lost now, you know, but both as a team and individually.
Yeah, well, that's
but still, generally, they're the strongest kept heels. But, and Big E might be the second strongest, but like I say, then he does, if he's going to be going over on Del Rio, and that makes no sense to me.
No.
Then have him going over on Del Rio.
Well, that was all I kept hearing on Tuesday and such, and reading online and stuff, is, oh, yeah, Big E, that's good that they're keeping him strong. I'm like, well, Alberto's the number one contender.
Exactly.
So if you want to have Big E beat somebody, like, have him, I don't even know who you, like you said, I don't know who, but have him beat someone that's not Del Rio. Well, yeah, and it does, I mean, if you want to make him beat somebody. Like, not Usos or Ryder or any of that stuff.
No.
But, I mean, beat someone meaningful, I don't know that you've got anybody, you know.
Beat the Miz.
Beat Jericho, for God's sakes. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, but first he beats them and then he loses. Like,
50-50.
You know what, Jack Swagger, like, I know it didn't work the way you want to. You can't fucking give up on it, though, because you're killing yourself.
Yeah.
You need this guy to be able to be the guy to go against Randy Orton in 2-3 months. To go against, and it's what they did with fucking Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
You know, job. Okay, he's the world champion. People love that he's the world champion. They know he's a really good wrestler, and they appreciate his loyalty and effort. But nobody takes him seriously as a champion. And nobody takes a single fucking heel outside of probably the Shield seriously and sort of Ryback.
It
should be to Mark Henry, but then Mark Henry's losing and dropping out.
Well, and he's hurt.
And
he's gone home, yeah. The problem...
Big Show, another one, dropping out to Orton. He's done. You know...
The problem for me, it's not even a problem for me.
Nobody.
Bad timing for Ziggler, though, in that, you know, winning a title... Getting that great Raw after Mania with those fans' reaction, winning the title, both because it was a smart crowd and they saw a title change.
Yeah.
And just getting hurt.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, and not being on TV and not even being able to do a
promo. Which is even more reason why you shouldn't be jobbing out Big Show and Swagger and Big E and Shane Orton and Henry, you know, because
mm-hmm.
when they jobbed him out, they didn't know he was going away and fucking everybody.
I actually kind of liked on Raw the Sheamus Titus O'Neil match.
Yeah.
I kind of like Titus O'Neil and see him as someone.
I think it's time for Titus O'Neil to get away from Darren Young.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing that he's
better the guy. Yeah.
He's the guy of the two, and Darren Young's holding him back. It's not really working in there. He won't be getting wins as long as he's with Darren Young. If he's a singles guy, they might give him some wins.
Yeah, but he's a guy exactly that I could see coming up. How about on that deal where it's the internet gets to vote or the app people get to vote?
Holy fuck, Holly or R-Truth or Orton?
Yeah.
Like, they weren't taking, remember when they did this before with Orton and Jericho? And Jericho won, it was Orton, Jericho, and I think The Miz or something like that with like the three guys they could vote in.
Yeah.
They were sure Orton was going to win. And then Jericho won the vote, and they were embarrassed, and they weren't prepared for it.
Yeah.
This was like 3 months ago or something like that.
Right after
Royal Rumble.
Yes.
So this time they weren't taking any fucking chances.
Well, and even, no, but the funny thing to me is that, like, yeah, Orton got like 72, and then Kali got 19, and R-Truth got 9.
Actually, I voted for Kali.
sucks to be.
Well, I mean, Khali to me would be hilariously bad. So, whereas R-Truth just exists.
Does he?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. So, I mean, but that's it again. It's the same thing. It's. Again, they weren't taking any chances. They're not. You know, and it just came across really stupid and phony to me again, and I don't even know why. Fucking. I mean. Swagger must have known Orton's going to win. Everybody knows he is. But maybe in that ring, in that moment, he's sitting there going, please be one of the other two so I can get a win. Please be one of the other two so I can.
Yeah, but they would have.
One of the other two, actually, he might not have beat R-Truth. He would have beat Khali.
I don't know that he would have beat Khali.
You know what? You might be right.
But only if Khali come out with a Rey Mysterio mask.
Yeah. The other thing I do want to say, the outside of the love stash, Caitlyn and Natty together, the worst fucking interaction ever. The lines and the acting, worst ever. And the other thing I want to talk about is Cody Rhodes getting the win, but, over Zack Ryder. There was actually woo-woos in the crowd.
It's over.
Yeah, but there was actually woo-woos in the crowd. I think he might have been the second or third most over guy still.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. He was, the crowd was more into him than almost anybody else, but it's over. But what I want to talk about is those two were in the ring together.
Yeah.
And you remember, I think it was 14, 15 months ago, we did a this or that, and I asked you, both are 25.
Yeah.
They're both 27, I think. Or 26 and 27, they're the same age. Who would you take, this or that, Zack Ryder or Cody Rhodes? And you were back and forth. It was like the toughest decision you had to make.
Yeah.
You were back and forth. And in the end, you chose, I said I would go with Cody, and you went with Ryder.
Yeah. I still would.
Really?
I mean, just because, yeah.
It's like I'm looking at you through the ring now, and I'm going, just because, no fucking way I would take Ryder over Rhodes.
Just because they're fucks doesn't mean I don't take Zack Ryder. If I'm booking, okay, and that's why it's a tough decision, because I would push them both of them, but if I could only have one, then I would take Zack Ryder, because I would rather have someone working for me that really, really wants to be working for me and will do whatever it takes to do it. And we know Zack Ryder can get over. And hell, Zack Ryder could get over again. I mean, it's not likely that they're going to let him. They're not going to let him, but he could.
Yeah.
And Cody Rhodes, again, he's not as over. He's got his stash thing, but he's not as over as he was even in his character. You know, when he had that mask and he was doing
that
voice.
I don't think he was as over as...
No, but he's evolved a little bit there, but then he's kind of stagnated. And then he's shown lots of different sides. The cocky side with the Rhodes Scholars.
The Rhodes Scholars thing actually didn't do him any favors. Because they put them together, and then they never gave them the ball.
Well, yeah.
So that really hurt him.
Yeah.
He was really hurt by
it. It hurt both of them.
It hurts.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw Damian Sand?
Jobbing out to, I think, Randy Orton?
Jobbing to Sheamus, jobbing to Orton, jobbing to whoever, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Well, jobbing to Big E on...
And that's the whole thing. They've broken him up again, and it's
the
same story as before, you know?
So Cody had that incredible match, like I say, still my favorite match of the year against Randy Orton there a couple weeks ago on Raw. So
is that your favorite match of the year?
That's my favorite match of the year. Yeah.
My favorite match of the year is still that Punk Cena that had the pile driver.
That was a hell of a match.
Yeah,
that was a hell of a match. Actually.
That was still my favorite.
You know what? Oh yeah, that might actually be better.
Yeah,
that might be better. They're both great matches.
But they were.
I don't look at those two and think. I look at Zack Ryder and think, yeah, I would have him. I wouldn't drop him out, but I do see his upside being only U.S. champion or IC champ. I think Cody is somebody I could see competing for a world title, maybe not getting it, but certainly competing. I just see a little bit higher in him.
Well, I could evolve Ryder into the same. I think.
I don't think.
But just, again, he's got the passion that, you know, I don't think.
But he's not good in the ring.
Yeah, but that's...
Cody is pretty good in the ring.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't necessarily... That doesn't disqualify me from making the guy a top guy. I mean, like, the NWA isn't around anymore. That's not necessarily a complete factor. I mean, it's the era of Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior certainly gone. But, like, Ryback can't go, right? I mean, Cena can't go, for fuck's sakes. And
he can.
Yeah,
he can
not,
in the right
not, he, Yeah, but I'm sure Zack Ryder couldn't write a situation.
I think here's the difference between Ryder and Ryback. And you're right.
A back and a dir?
A Bacter?
A Bacter. Yo, you dealing with the X-Bacter.
The X-Bacter? Have you got an X-Bacter in your garage? Don't you use that to cut your lawn and stuff?
No.
Sidetrack. Here's the difference between these two gentlemen.
Okay. And the Ryback.
And the Zach.
Ryback.
The Ryback.
Feed me more Bud Light Lime.
Oh, I've totally lost my thought.
But no, here's the difference. Ryback. Rule.
Is Ryback may not be a better wrestler than Ryder. In fact, Ryder probably is a little different, better. But the difference is Ryback does have better looking offense. His offense looks more better,
more
deadly.
Yeah, more like better.
The
meat hook, yeah.
The meat hook, supposed
to. Marching around, you know.
And that helps him actually look legitimate in a main event, despite not being that good a wrestler.
Right.
And that's the same, even though John Cena has some really phony looking moves, he has some better offense than Ryder. That's what, you know, Ryder had better offense, I would agree.
Yeah. And, I mean, that all could...
Cody Rhodes has better offense
honestly, that the Rated R Superstar had better offense than the Brood Edge. And it just evolves over time. So, again, I could see... Right, I just look at the potential on this, and I never, for someone that really wants to work for me, I would never throw that away.
Well, no, I keep him up as a mid-card, I keep him at the level of R-Truth. That's where I would keep Zack Ryder. Where they have R-Truth, where he can do some jobs and he can get some wins, and he'll entertain the crowd and be sort of popular and come out.
I thought you said you'd keep him like R-Truth.
Yeah, R-Truth does. He does it. He can do his dance, or he can do his. You know, every now and then he'll get a win. He's just kind of one of those guys who's. Yes, he's only a mid-card guy, but you know he's not buried.
Buried.
Not like Ryder, but that's where I would see Ryder. Whereas I would see Cody Rhodes have more potential. Now.
Yeah. No, that's fair. What else? Anything else on Raw?
That's fucking it. I hated it. It was awful.
Did you?
The booking was awful. The matches were awful. The acting was awful.
Yeah, it was 3 hours.
And 3 fucking long hours.
It was 3 fucking long hours.
And this coming Monday, we have tickets to go see it live.
Yes, 3 fucking long hours. Well, we're going to be there for probably 4 hours, right? I mean, yeah. Bret Hart Appreciation Night after. Going to be on the score here in Canada.
Post Raw, they're going to keep the cameras going.
We watched NXT tonight, and they had a big thing splashed onto the screen that the Bret Hart Appreciation Night is going to be live on the score immediately following Raw. So they're going to keep the, like Tony Schiavone would say, the tape machines are rolling, and they're going to show that on the score, which is really cool for all of his wonderful fans of Canada.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll be on YouTube or available somewhere.
Yeah.
For everybody else to see it in this way as well. And if they're doing this, I wonder if they're going to put it on their website or
Brett,
if they're going to put it on another DVD for Brett or
well, Brett's like gone on his Facebook account, and people were complaining that they're going to do that there and they're going to do this on the USA Network. And he just said, well, to all of my American wrestling fans, I apologize for nothing.
He didn't actually do that.
He didn't do that. Well, he did, but in 1997.
Yeah.
That was a great year.
you like 1997 wrestling, right?
I've heard that. We'll just get this. It's cruel to say we'll get this out of the way, but I think we should go. Today being May 23rd, 14th anniversary of Camper Arena. And
we talked a little bit about Owen there, but this is the actual day that it happened.
That it happened in 1999, yeah. Just one, I mean, I'll quote, because I mentioned Bret Hart and he's writing on his Facebook account. What he actually wrote on his Facebook account, he said, He said, my life is forever changed after losing you, Owen. It's been an incredibly sad and lonesome world without you, and it surely can't be fair that heaven is echoing in laughter, all the pranks being pulled on the rest of the angels, and all of us here on Earth are left with just our memories. So, yeah. Very well put by...
Very well put, as always.
By Brad.
How well do you think... Let's talk about SummerSlam match. Let's talk about SummerSlam cage match. Does that match hold up, do you think?
Oh, it does. To me, it holds up... The thing that it holds up is no blood.
I know.
And just a very...
It's a very different type of match than, say, what we saw with Lesnar and Triple H. It was a cage match that was incredibly safe.
It was an escape the cage,
mm-hmm.
and that was, and they used that as the point. There were no pinfalls in this particular one. It was just escape the cage only, mm-hmm. and I thought the psychology of it was tremendous.
Yes, really brilliant.
Because they were just trying to stick the cage and win. I mean, that was it. And you had Davey Boy, we talked about last week, Davey Boy sitting in the crowd making his return with the rest of the Hart family to come in and neutralize the Anvil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to God, even if Davey Boy was alive, I'd like to see him try to do that now. Neutralize the Anvil? Jesus.
Yeah, the Anvil's gotten big. It's one of those things where you look at it now, I think if people watch it now, it's not what you expect. There is no blood. It doesn't have the spots where the guys are hurting themselves or look like they could hurt themselves just to get over the realism of the match. Like you say, it's a match. It's the best cage match storytelling I've ever seen. From a pure storytelling point of view,
yes.
Best I've ever seen. And it didn't hurt that probably about 6 months prior, Bret had a match against Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
It ended up on one of their VHS
Coliseum Home Videos. Yeah.
That was almost spot for spot the exact same match. So you had a chance to, you know, look at that and go over that and see what worked and what didn't.
Yeah.
And use it with Owen.
Remember,
and,
was that Gorilla Monsoon and Johnny Polo did the commentary on that?
I don't recall that. But yeah. I remember spot for spot, so many of the same spots. But, yeah, it was a tremendous match. So it's really funny because it's not like any other cage match out there. So it makes you go, is it better or worse then?
Yeah, why has it never been done again or tried again,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I think somehow what cage matches were changed with the Hunter versus Triple H. Now all cage matches kind of follow that kind of storyline.
Well, especially with the ref in it and the pinfall deal now.
Yeah. And every single match has a door slammed in somebody's head gimmick and, you know, that shit, right? So, it's nobody's done it since, like that.
No, nobody has, and I don't think anybody ever will. And it had the big blue cage, too, big blue bar cage.
And it didn't hurt the match. It's probably the first time ever that the big blue cage didn't hurt the cage match.
Yeah.
Because it really did look stupid. In a lot of ways. It really hurts. I think a lot of the WWE cage matches for a long time.
Well,
and
we were
used to... It didn't hurt at this match
because
of how they put it.
Of how they did it, exactly. The other one, Owen Hart, is Dave Meltzer, actually, I've heard this story, but he reminded me of it the other day here, was Chief J. Strongbow story. Chief J. Strongbow giving Owen Hart shit for doing... I don't know if it was a Hurricanrana. Oh, I think it was his flip move on when he used to get up the rope and do the, lay on the ropes and do the backflip and do the arm drag.
Yeah,
and
great move.
Jay Strongbow was like, hey, don't do that move. That's a dumb move. He's getting into it. Owen's like, why? That's a great move. Crowd goes wild for that.
Yeah, because it's so...
That's amazing. Like my move for at this point, right?
Yeah.
And
especially Blue Blazer, that's when he first started doing
exactly. And I think this was even like when he was like new foundation, like rocket, high energy Owen Hart, right? And he's like, do that move. It's a great move. But he goes, well, he says, Chief J goes, would you do that move in a real fight? And Owen looks at him and goes, no, I do a war dance.
I'm like, as soon as he says that, would you do that move in a real fight? It's like, how many moves in wrestling would you do in a real fight?
No, I know.
Would you, would you do a figure four in a real fight?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, would you do a camel clutch?
Actually, I might. But No. If I was in a real fight, I'd do a war dance.
Touché.
That's awesome.
That's an awesome story.
It is awesome. And,
okay, yeah. What else have you got on the old list there?
The old list. Well, just looking at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 30 and 31.
Mm-hmm.
The bids are in.
Okay.
And I guess it's like August 1st or early August. WWE is going to announce who's getting both WrestleMania 31 and 32.
Okay.
So,
you said 30 and 31.
Sorry, I said 30 and 31. Yeah, I know. Okay. 30 is New Orleans. 31 and 32 are going to be announced already in August.
Okay.
So there really are following that Super Bowl, many years out kind of deal. And, of course, they should. Yeah. I guess one of the front runners for 31 is a joint bid. And I don't know how the fuck they're going to – what this even means, but Detroit and Windsor, Ontario, to do
what?
A joint bid. Under
Detroit's hosted twice before. So.
They have, Detroit and Windsor. Well, I guess under the guise that they can, because Detroit really, apparently is still in some pretty, dusty roads, say, hard times.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Joe Louis Arena, where they're tonight the Red Wings went up 3-1 on the dot.
Yeah.
And there it is in Detroit, and it's one of the oldest arenas. And literally, there's, 2 weeks ago, a shooting and stabbing, and somebody dies outside there. Like, it's a rough neighborhood.
Yeah.
There's no safe place in a lot of that city.
But I guess there's a gimmick being that they can bring two countries together and da-da-da-da-da. Now, I don't know.
It's interesting, but unfortunately, there's a problem with it. Windsor is about the size of your house.
Well, yeah, it's... I don't know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, I don't know if that's a similar comparison or not.
I don't think it's that big.
I don't know if any, I don't know any good people that live there, but it's, and if you do, God bless
you. What's their biggest arena?
But where, in?
Windsor.
Oh, no, I don't think it would be in Windsor. I don't think we're talking like WrestleMania 2, where it's in three different, emanating from three different arenas. I would think it would be in Ford Field. It would just be, and I don't know if maybe they kick some money in to bid. Like, it literally is a bid. And so I don't know, because Detroit's got no money right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they need Windsor.
But how much money can Windsor have?
I don't know. They have a casino. I don't know. I don't know how, the logistics, but.
Does that mean that the money's going to Tatanka?
Ooh. That could be. And that's how Tatanka gets in the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
Well, he'd have to do a war dance. I don't know. I just I don't know the economics of it. Maybe the sum of the parts. You know what I mean? Like if they need $1 million and each can kick in 500, but no more, then they come together and do this, and they're close enough. Like literally, they're over a bridge.
And maybe they're sharing some of the profits somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
You know, and I don't know, right? This is how it'll work.
Of course, they need to make a bid for WrestleMania 33.
Well, yes, 23-3, and 33, right? So. Would be
WrestleMania 13, we'll just forget. I only had one good match anyway.
That's true, and that's from emanated from Chicago.
Chicago.
Rosemont Horizon.
That's right. But what a great match it was.
Oh, fuck yeah. Let's see. So that was interesting. I just thought with that. Did you hear
it? It was not an I Quit match, though.
It was not. It was a submission match.
Yeah, it was a submission
and
match.
And I did find out the difference between an I Quit and a submission match.
What's that?
If you can tap out in an I Quit, like you can tap in an I Quit match.
Hmm.
You have to physically say I Quit.
You just, I wish right now this is a video podcast. As you
tap, and
your
tap,
knee,
yeah, tap that
and then put like
the
a
microphone up
to your mouth, and without even realizing it, simulated like you're sucking cock. It was tremendous.
What does that look like?
Like this.
Oh.
Hey. Before we go on, I've been thinking about the lyrics of the new Joe Henning,
Curtis Axel, yeah.
I don't know, but wondering what else you got? We got to keep working on this.
Your mom sucks cock. Your mother sucked my cock. Gave me a blowjob and swallowed it. Gave me a blowjob and did not spit.
Oh,
wrestling.
We talk wrestling. Perfect blowjobs. Jim Ross. Did you hear what Jim Ross did?
Something about trying to let NFL players know that they can come to the WWE when their playing career doesn't work out?
Very good idea, I think, in this case. He met with the NFL Players Association, actually, to try to sort of start...
Isn't this a job for somebody who is working in talent relations?
Wouldn't it be, though? Wouldn't it be? Him and I think Jerry Briscoe was the other one that was looking.
Yeah.
But went in... Just, man, I think it's a really good idea. This is kind of like that, you know, the Army going to high schools and are like, do you have any really stupid kids?
Yeah.
To exploit. That's what they would do.
Yeah.
Not to say you're dumb if you're in the Army, but that they would specifically target people to do that, because a lot of people go in the Army by choice. But it's a situation similar. Like, if you get
unless
cut,
you're Sweden, you have to go in.
That's right. Or Switzerland, like Antonio Cesaro. That's why
the commandant.
That's the commandant. Yes, with Kurgan. I think it's a good idea for players to get cut, and they have an interest in wrestling. Then you know, it gives them. It's almost like, you know, I don't know what to do with my life. Hand them a pamphlet, you know, kind of thing. Same idea. So just to have that kind of program.
It's
awareness
very smart
is a very smart idea, I think, and you know and. A lot of good NFL and CFL and you know former football players have gone on to do some good things in wrestling.
Oh yeah,
right?
for sure.
Not in a while, but
for a long time you saw a lot of people that were former NFL. I mean, you look at former NFL stars, and I was looking at a list of some of them, and it's like, oh Jesus! I mean, you look at just guys who were like Vader. It's like he was in the NFL, but he didn't quite make it. Thank God he went to pro wrestling because he was one of the best. You know, guys like that, it's like, you know.
Well, I mean, you think of, in the 80s, Hacksaw Duggan, Tito Santana, Lex Luger, they all played, you know, CFL.
Pro football.
So Brian Pillman,
you
know, walk-on with the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean,
and
so there are a lot of guys that have that injury. You know, there aren't a lot. I mean, like, John Cena played some football, but he didn't, you know.
He was a high school linebacker or something.
Yeah, I mean. That's the difference between high school and even college ball and actually, you know, playing in the pros and getting cut or, you know, or trying for teams.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the guy that had a great cage match against Triple H was cut for the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there.
Yeah.
What would have happened?
Different.
Oh.
That's a little... Brock Lesnar's a little different.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, it's true, though. It's
Goldberg?
Goldberg's another one, yeah.
I mean...
There's a lot of them, yeah, over the years. But like you say, it's not something you've seen so much lately. I mean, just like you don't see amateur wrestlers now. Because amateur wrestlers turn out to end up going into MMA.
Even though
many of them actually probably be better off going into pro wrestling, because the ones that make it to the top level of MMA, there's so many of them now to compete against. It's you know, not as easy as it once was.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, there should be... same thing. I mean, we're even seeing this. We're seeing guys who were NFL players, like you know, what's his name, the hybrid in MMA. What's his name? Hybrid's his nickname.
Really?
Yeah, he played in the NFL. You would totally know him. You know?
Roy Nelson?
No.
Oh.
I think he fought over Roy Nelson, though.
Did he?
I think so.
The hybrid.
Just type Google it. It's going to bug the shit out of me.
Hybrid.
But, you know, there was, on the heavyweight season of Ultimate Fighter, they had two or three.
Is that guys. Matt Mitrione?
Well, there's Matt Mitrione. There was that other guy who got a Matt Mitrione's face. There was, and this is going to.
I guess I should spell hybrid right.
Well, maybe. UFC, Brendan...
Oh, Brendan Schaub.
Brendan Schaub.
Yes, I told you, it was Brendan Schaub.
Brendan Schaub, yeah. So, I mean, there were three or four former NFL players right there.
That guy in the hybrid is Brendan Schaub.
Yeah. The hybrid, who was that?
Matt Mitrione.
No.
Oh.
That's me, Ted,
yeah.
That's it. I mean, so you see these guys who are former NFL players now, even they are going into MMA as their second choice now.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, it's good for WWE to look at trying to get some more amateur wrestlers and more NFL guys.
Yeah, that's right. No, so I think it's a good idea for Jim Ross to be doing that. Rey Mysterio going to see Dr. Andrews again. Mm-hmm. He's out till at least August now. Mm-hmm. He was expected back fairly soon.
I thought they didn't want him back.
Yeah, there's something there. But he's not even been
healthy. They want to retain the rights to sell his masks, but they don't actually want him back.
Well, the nice part about it
is merchandise.
Yeah, that's the deal that they still have to get worked out. But as long as he's hurt, like the contract tacks on his injury time to the end of the contract.
Yeah.
So,
and if he's hurt indefinitely, which he may be,
then he's under contract indefinitely.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's probably good for both of them.
Well, that
he
I
should never wrestle again.
No, he really shouldn't.
I really would love to see a guy like him go out with a great match on a high note and an angle and put over a Sin Cara or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, just as far as him being in the ring, when we saw him at Royal Rumble, Jesus, he did not look good.
No, not at all. And I would rather he, I would actually rather he put over the newly signed Samurai Del Sol.
Yeah, because he's awesome.
Because he's awesome.
He's so short, though. I just can't see him.
But Ray.
Yeah.
If that's your new Ray, and he keeps the, if he could sell over the Samurai Del Sol gimmick and that mask.
Yeah.
And.
But again, are they going to let him keep the mask even?
Well, I think they'd have to change it a little bit, or he'd sign over the rights to it.
Yeah.
If that's legal, I don't know. There's a lot of that stuff with, you know, if you had the name before and you brought it in, like your CM Punk, they get to keep it. I don't know if the same is mask. I guess you could sign it over.
Yeah.
But that's some money there. Like, that's your next Rey Mysterio guy at this point, right? In terms of that kind of merchandise. I mean, you have Pac,
yeah, him,
too, right?
Yeah, well, Pac, I suppose. I suppose you could put him on our mask.
Well, no, I don't put him under a mat. I just mean in terms of your high-flyer guy,
flyer,
right?
Yeah.
But...
Well, I mean, the premier high-flyer right now is Kofi Kingston.
That's true. So. That's true. But no, that's it. We can... I'll hit one more, because we were just talking about Jim Ross, just to go to that one in terms of a segue. But the Legends of Mid-South is what it's officially called, the DVD, and it's going to be out September the 10th.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Is the title there. So it's going to just feature, yeah, all these guys from Mid-South. Jim Ross did some, I guess some of the commentary wasn't, like the tapes that they actually bought from, I think it was Bill Watts' ex-wife owned it. Anyway, the tapes they bought from her were in such sort of shitty shape that Jim Ross actually went in and redubbed over the commentary.
Oh,
for
okay.
It. So...
No, it's going to be great. It'll be awesome.
That is
they had a lot of great shit down there.
They did.
In Mid-South. So.
And so that's going to be really good to look for. Should we do a question? We asked for questions on Twitter.
We got a couple things I want to hit here. Number one, didn't talk Impact.
No, well, that's what I was going to say. We don't talk about Impact.
I'd like you to just Google it right now, because we never did get to it. I said, like, do 50 top matches. WWE
oh,
history.
Yeah. Top 50 matches in WWE history. I will ask you the question. It's from the Bannable, our good friend. And his question is, when, in your opinion, did Hulk Hogan peak?
Oh.
When did Hogan
peak? Hulk Hogan peak? that's interesting. He had more than one peak.
Well,
it's a thing, right? The ultimate peak, I have to say WrestleMania 3. I really do. I mean, the torch was passed, and that was, for me, that's the night I said, that's it, that's the peak. You know, because he's coming off of this unbelievable house show run with Paul Orndorff.
Yes.
Where he gets 68,000 into the CE Stadium.
CNE.
CNE.
Present.
Yeah, you were there, yeah, in Toronto.
I was there.
68,000.
I really thought
they turned around, and they turned around, and I thought for sure it was going to be Orndorff in the main event against WrestleMania, and they managed to make it even bigger and get 73,000, 78,000 or whatever.
93,173. Well, 175 if you include Gorilla Jesse.
So 78,000 into WrestleMania 3, huge. I think that's the peak. I mean, that's it.
Do you think so?
It's got everything. It's not everything. He's still very mainstream, popular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay.
I think that's it.
My opinion, I think Hulkamania, Hulk Hogan, peaked in 1990 at WrestleMania 6. I think you had, like you said, the Orndorff, then you had the Andre, then you had the greatest angle, in my opinion, in wrestling history, the Mega Powers explode. Coming there, Hogan gets the title, defends it again for another year, and then faces the Ultimate Warrior. Great match in terms of what people were expecting it to be. Losing the belt.
It'll be on this list of 50 greatest
matches. And it should be on this list here. And
greatest WWE championship
matches ever. And it, and then you look at the next ones. They're like Slaughter. And no. And then you look at Sid. No. And then you have the Yokozuna debacle and such. So it really then...
And you know what? Say what you will. I mean, yes. I mean, WCW took off, but it wasn't the same. Wrestling got hotter, but it wasn't all Hulk Hogan. He was a big part.
He was Hogan's turning heel in the NWO was a big part, but also Hogan turning heel in the NWO started in the really a 2-year run.
Yeah.
There, you know, in terms of peaking at the Goldberg loss in the Georgia Dome, and starting in at the '96 Bash at the Beach. So really, it was about a 2-year run.
About a 2-year run.
And I guess you could tail that over to the Karl Malone that was the week later.
Pay-per-view.
Karl Malone, Rodman there with DDP. And
but really, I mean, all that stuff, I look at everything you talk about, even WrestleMania, like WrestleMania 5, that was my other thought, was maybe it was WrestleMania 5, but I'd go WrestleMania 3, because I believe the reason why WrestleMania 5 was so huge and why the Mega Powers exploded so effective is because of the peak he reached and the fame he reached around WrestleMania 3. You know what I mean? That carried over, that established him at another level, and from there he never was seen as not that legend anymore.
To me, I just think that Warrior was kind of the peak. Like when I say peak here, what do we mean? He went up, and then all of a sudden it came down. And that's where it started to come down. So
I could see that too.
You know, but that's
okay. So that's good. Thank you, the animal. And,
yeah.
You know, a nice question. And let's get into the 50 greatest matches ever.
So we're gonna start with number 50.
Championship matches. This is not the 50 greatest matches.
The Survivor Series Screwjob.
Interesting.
Number 50. Certainly famous. And probably
it's infamous.
And it probably does deserve that 50 spot then. Because you
probably
can throw it in the infamous, but I mean, in terms of, I mean, the match never got going, wasn't a great worked match, like nothing, it wasn't like this was going gangbusters, right?
It felt funky right from the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
You were waiting for the other shoe to drop. And,
yeah.
You know?
So.
Yeah.
So that was 50. 49. The Miz and John Morrison on Raw.
It was a tremendous match. That was Morrison.
Yeah. Morrison's bumping really did make this match. I think, was this Miz's only...
That might be his only win? I think he did beat Jerry Lawler at one pay-per-view.
He also beat John Cena.
Oh,
at WrestleMania.
Fuck off, really?
And Steve Austin and Dude Love from Over the Edge.
That was awesome.
That was a great match. They
launched that.
There was a Briscoe Brothers Body Shop cars and stuff that they went on.
That was great.
That was great.
I would probably have that higher, but we'll see what beats it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's one that seems underrated for sure here. Bob Backlund and Superstar Billy Graham.
You know, I've never seen this match.
No.
Have you?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I love this. For 10 months, Superstar Billy Graham kept a stronghold on the WWE Championship. What a record among ring villains to this very day. What?
That's probably no. That's not true.
No, it's not.
Yokozuna had it for a year.
Yes. And there was a guy named CM Punk.
But he
wasn't a heel the whole time. Same with Randy Savage. Wasn't a heel the whole
time.
But
Yokozuna was, though.
Yokozuna definitely was. And, was it 10 months, though? Was it 10 months? It wasn't a year. He won it at King of the Ring.
That's true.
And went to Mania. So he would have won it in July.
Actually, you know what? It might not be.
It would have been nine months.
Because he lost. There was about 1 week in between where he didn't have it.
No. It was more than a week. It was like April. to July.
Oh, no, I'm getting my mind mixed up with Tuesday in Texas.
Oh, yes.
Or whatever
yeah.
We went to Pac from Hogan right away. Yeah.
Yes, so that was Undertaker.
Fuck, what was... Yeah, right, that was Undertaker. But didn't he lose it to Hogan and win it back a month later? What did he win it back at?
No, King of the Ring, he won it back. King of the Ring when Jim Cornette was the cameraman, and that would have been in July. It was just...
So it was one.
No, it would have been in June. I'm sorry, it was June. King of the Ring was in June because July was the USS Intrepid. July 4th.
So yeah, he won it at WrestleMania 9, though, and he held it for 11 out of the 12 months.
No. He won it at WrestleMania 9, lost it to Hogan at WrestleMania 9. Beat Hogan in June at the King of the Ring, lost it to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10.
Okay.
So he would have gone July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. And, you know, maybe, March, because WrestleMania was in March that year, WrestleMania 10. So it would have been 9. So very close to the superstar, Billy Graham.
This is probably true. I mean, Hunter held the World Heavyweight Championship for a year. Randy Orton had a 10-month reign, I think, or so, at one point as a heel champion.
But is that a world, or it's so hard to tell.
I mean, I know Hunter's was when he lost it to Goldberg. He held it for like a year.
What about JBL? He was WWE champion.
He was WWE champion. That was 11 months? He won it 1 month after WrestleMania and held it till WrestleMania?
Yeah. So, but it might have been a little bit... Did he win it in...
Basically,
1 month
gonna,
after, or was it the next pay-per-view? Because they were doing the SmackDown Raw all
the time. We'll come back. I'm going to study these stats.
Okay.
We're going to find this out. We'll come back. We're just speculating. But
yeah, we are.
It just doesn't seem right.
No,
it's probably close to one of the best.
It looks like for a full heel, right?
As a match, I can't judge it, but I'm sure it was
historically,
very good.
Bob Backlund won the title, right?
Yeah.
So, again, there you are. So,
yeah.
John Cena, Batista, Over the Limit.
That was decent.
Yeah. I Quit match, I believe.
Yeah.
Eddie and JBL, Great American Bash, June 27th. So this is when JBL won the title.
Mm-hmm.
In
is that
June.
Or after?
Well, because they were doing the alternating pay-per-view. So if WrestleMania was in April, then they would have had a May show. And then ECW.
Again, I don't know.
Might have been ECW. Although this is 2004. Did they have
this is a strap match. Is that where JBL... I thought JBL didn't win it in the strap match. I thought he was champion defending there.
No. JBL's first opportunity at Eddie Guerrero's title proved to be a physical affair.
Okay.
Oh, wait. But their bull rope rematch at the Great American Bash.
Ah, see, there you go.
So there you go. So
this was the second match. This was the bloodbath, wasn't it?
Was it? Maybe. I don't think so.
Because one of those matches, Eddie bled like WWE's never seen before. Or since.
Marble or since. So it was 2004.
No, yeah, or since. He bled like... Yeah, it was amazing.
CM Punk, Daniel Bryan.
No.
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 Not
at that level. Bruno and Ivan Koloff, again, who would have seen this?
And this is
I'm
difficult.
Sure
well, again, this is tough because it's just a different style.
It's a different style, but the thing is, why I think it'll be tremendous, I know the heat in this match is through the roof.
Which, unfortunately, probably won't translate
via
those old tapes.
No.
But
hey, maybe it'll be on Bruno's DVD or Blu-ray, whenever it comes out.
Yeah.
Cena, Triple H, WrestleMania, that was all right.
Yeah.
Decent.
I guess.
Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, that was way better than decent.
Yeah.
That was very good. A hell of a lot better than the Triple H versus Cena.
And this is where, Shawn hurts his back on that the casket bump.
This is the straw.
Literally broke the camel's back.
Literally did. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you calling his wife? What are you calling Undertaker's wife?
What?
This camel? Is that what you're calling?
So?
His old, not Michelle McCool, his wife before. Is that what you're saying? You're calling her camel?
Billy Kidman?
Yeah.
Hmm. 7 year itch?
There's some cream for that.
There is. What's the next match? Mankind and The Rock, Royal Rumble 99.
Yeah, that was very good.
That was very good. I may put that higher than 40. We'll see what...
I would too. I don't think so far, though. I mean, I prefer the Over Edge match, too. Though the Undertaker-Shawn match was very good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So. And we're going to go to 39.
I think we'll offer this a load.
I don't know what's going on. Punk and Jericho, Extreme Rules. No.
No, fuck no.
No.
This shit was awful.
This was. And this is the whole, we're going to make Punk drink build.
Well, it's, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's also, we have to have some current stars in there, type deal.
Iron Man match.
Yeah, that was really good.
Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar from SmackDown.
Very good match.
And a great pick here of a released German suplex being done by Brock on Kurt. Yes, this was a very good match.
Yeah.
Steve Austin and Jericho from Vengeance.
I don't remember it that well.
The only, unfortunately, the one thing that I remember about this, this was Jericho winning the WWE title.
Oh, that's right.
And this is him. This is beating Austin and the beating Austin and Rock in the same night. I remember.
Oh, that was okay then. Yeah, okay. I remember the match. It was a very good match.
This was a good match. I was thinking this was the
No
Way Out.
Counters after counters.
There were a lot of counters. I thought this was the No Way Out match that
after
was
counters.
When NWO debuted and then and they had a match. And was there a counter?
There was a counter after a counter.
Huh. Rock and Brock SummerSlam 2002.
No.
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 You didn't like this match?
It was good, but it just wasn't remarkable.
I think it deserves on the list. I think it's too high, probably. I would swap this with that Steve Austin Dude and Love match from, was it Over the Edge?
Yeah.
Superstar Billy Graham versus Dusty Rhodes.
What an awesome picture.
This is with the Grand Wizard and then Huggy Bear Superstar here.
That's right.
This is
jacked beyond
belief. Fuck.
Fucking looks like Mason Ryan.
Yeah. That's true, with the hair even.
Yeah.
Blonde Mason Ryan.
Yeah.
But, and this is, and you can see the picture. This is when Triple H didn't have a goatee, so we wanted to be. It's, I never seen it. I imagine the promos leading to it would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah. Graham and Rhodes?
Yeah.
I think I've actually seen some of those promos.
I think so on the Dusty, both of their DVDs, actually.
Yeah.
But, I've never seen it, obviously, but it'd be great. And
Dusty wasn't a great worker, and Graham was actually not a good worker.
Well, you say in 1977, though, Dusty wasn't the fat splotch man. He wasn't in great shape.
But he wasn't,
But he wasn't super, super fat, right?
No.
So,
John Cena versus JBL at Judgment Day. That was a month after. Was this I Quit Match rematch? Looking it up?
Just looking to see. Yeah, it is an I Quit match.
That's the rematch.
Yeah. Oh, this is the one where he quit as a cowardly heel.
Decent, but again, not that high. But it's we got to keep John Cena and these guys strong, too. But putting over some of their matches, so and that's what I feel. I wouldn't have it up there. It was all right. I think it was the first time John Cena actually main evented a pay per view as champion, right? So,
this would be his first title defense, really. Yeah. So, let's see, 33 is going to be The Rock versus Kurt Angle versus Triple H at SummerSlam 2000.
That was awesome.
This is where Angle gets knocked out on the table to do in the pedigree.
Yeah, this was an awesome match.
This was a great match.
Yeah. This was a match that really, in many ways, made me really realize how good Angle was, actually. Because he hadn't been around for that long.
No, he really hadn't at that point.
Yeah, this is where I was like, this fucking guy is tremendous. What's next? Until then, I was wondering if he was supposed to be at the level they're pushing him at.
Yeah.
This is where I kind of started to believe that he was good enough. Lesnar versus Eddie Guerrero on the way out, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
It's too low. 32?
I maybe do 22. But we'll see what's there. Oh, yeah. Hogan and Orndorff, Saturday night's main event.
The photo finish.
The photo finish and the commentary by Jesse the Body Ventura with the knees bent and, you know.
Yeah.
You can see Hogan's knees are bent more, Orndorff's knees are bent more, which means he hit first. And,
yeah, yeah. It was great.
Just great.
It was really a great editing job they did to make them come across like they really had an exact.
Yeah, because they didn't. Orndorff went first.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the nice thing about taping it 6 weeks out or whatever.
Yeah, whenever it actually happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it ended air January 3rd. This was also this Saturday night's main event. Was this not the Macho Man Bret Hart Saturday night's main event?
I don't think so.
I think this was.
It might be. I do believe this is the blow-off to the feud, though.
Yes, it is, because so, then he moves right on to Andre next
so,
week.
This is great stuff.
I was pretty sure that this has also got that Bret
I look it up.
Thing. Rock and Triple H Judgment Day, May 24th, 2000, which was the Iron Man match with the, was this not the
Shawn Michaels as the ref?
Shawn Michaels the ref, return of the debut of the American Badass.
Yeah, it was, yeah. This was very good.
Yes, this was very good, yeah.
Very good match.
And I think it was, what, 6-5 or something?
Which was, it was the second Iron Man match after the first one we saw, which went to 0-0 overtime between Bret and Shawn. This was the second Iron Man match they ever did. And I remember the promo leading up to it where Triple H is like, I'm going to challenge you to the match, the match that people most fear in the WWE. And that's what I'm expecting. Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
The Iron Man match. And I went, oh, yeah, that logically makes sense.
Yeah.
You have to go for an hour, no break. That's the match they would most fear. It was in that day and age where you don't see it, especially the second one.
Yeah.
It really works. So it was a good build and a good match.
And it was an opposite in terms of being 6-5.
And it was the opposite in terms of being 6-5. Plus, it was probably also the feud to the end to their almost 3-year feud. You know, 2+, because they started with the, you know.
With the ladder
the
match,
IC belt,
the IC belt.
The IC
and
belt
things,
and feuding for that. And it kind of carried over on and off again for a couple of years. Two and a half years. Almost 3 years to the world title. This is kind of the end.
Well, then he joined the corporation, and then it continued there.
Yeah.
And then the McMahon-Helmsley era, and that's what this was in. It was the McMahon with the DX and everything that way. Number 20.
It's one of the best feuds they ever had. Really, Triple H and Rock, they won't say anything. They had
a long-standing rivalry, absolutely.
And it worked.
And it did. It really did work.
Yeah.
Steve Austin versus Kurt Angle, Unforgiven.
Yes, that was just after 9/11, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks after 9/11 or so. There you can see, don't you fucking touch me, Karen Angle.
There she is.
Of course, Kurt winning for the good old USA.
Yeah.
Which is what was needed.
Storyline-wise, it was,
it was needed 12 days after 9/11.
He was a heel, and the second that happened, he was a babyface.
Immediately.
An American, and it worked.
Still is.
Which is really funny, because it really still... Steve Austin was also a heel actually at the time, but it's like Steve Austin, I think he's American. I'm not sure.
But Kurt Angle's the American hero, the Olympic American, red, white, and blue. I mean, it made
sense. It did make sense.
It did make perfect sense. So, and I believe it was in Pittsburgh.
That's possible.
The pay-per-view as well. Because, I mean, all his family was there. So, made his homecoming. There you go.
Yeah.
So, Punk and Cena.
A moment.
It definitely was a moment. And a well-needed moment at the time. Punk Cena, the SummerFest 2011.
Match of nothing.
No, I didn't. I don't put it up.
Completely forgettable match.
It's not even a...
We're going to put over our guys again.
Well, it's not even their fourth best match, or it probably is their fourth best match.
Because
Money in the Bank,
I could think
that Raw match I just mentioned to you.
I could think of so many matches better for both of these guys against Rey Mysterio alone.
I just mean against them, each other.
Yeah.
And Night of Champions.
Yeah.
And then this, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't think of any. But that's at least their fourth best. So, number 28, way too high.
Way too high. Like I said, I can think of three or four matches involving Rey Mysterio versus Punk and Cena, because they had that Raw match, that are better than that. You know? So,
Ted DiBiase, Randy Savage, WrestleMania 4, the
awful.
Culmination.
It was a great celebration. And a great ending storyline-wise, setting up for WrestleMania 5. It's a shit match.
I wouldn't call it a shit match.
It was a shit match.
Nah.
I don't know if Savage was hurt. He had four matches, and there were four shitty matches that night.
Four shitty matches?
They were.
I remember the match with Greg Valentine. I thought it was too short. He was fighting. Let me say shitty matches. The fucking guy fought Butch Reed in the One Man Gang.
Yep, and they were shit.
Well, yeah, because he was fighting Butch Reed in the One Man Gang.
I've seen Butch Reed in good matches.
Not in WWE, didn't.
Not in WWE.
No, not jacked up Butch Reed.
No, that's not true.
So it's. But again, this placement here is fond memories of two great guys that probably had a better match somewhere that hardly anybody saw. This I would say goes on the list, but if you want to swap this out with the No Way Out or with the Over the Edge, you know what I mean? It's just like
the Shawn Undertaker or casket match or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So. Favorite spot in this is Ted DiBiase goes to the outside and Macho Man stands to do his double axe handle from the top rope there. Andre stands in front of him and goes, jump. And then Jesse Ventura's on, look, Andre's telling him to jump. He's asking him to jump. And Savage, of course, gets down a point, and that's when he whispers to Elizabeth to go get Hogan.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, good memory, not
a great match.
Not in its where it is. John Cena and Randy Orton at Bragging Rights, October 2009.
That was another I Quit, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was really good. That was good.
No, I don't think so.
Huh? Wasn't it I Quit?
I'm just looking. 16. This is an Iron Man match, an Anything Goes Iron Man match.
It's awful. I never saw that.
Well, until we just brought this up, I forgot Bragging Rights existed.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm sure I did, but if it's not sticking in my memory, which would, you know...
Which makes sense for...
Knees.
Well, and it's...
But again, it's Randy Orton versus John Cena.
It's October... October 2009, that's when... Yeah, exactly. Nothing really meant anything in that 08, 09.
No, period, nothing meant anything there. Yeah, that's right. Isn't this coming near the... Yeah, it's just... Whatever.
Austin Rock Backlash.
Good. No, this is the Mania match, but good.
Yeah, this is 99. Decent enough.
Yeah.
McMahon Shane was the ref. And that, the corporate Shane, right? And
that's when
The Rock didn't win the title again, and Shane turned on The Rock, who everybody wanted to be a babyface, so rather than Rock turn babyface, they went heel on Rock.
Yeah.
Didn't really matter because he's fucking Rock.
Exactly.
Triple H and Jericho from Raw when Jericho won the belt.
Won the belt that he didn't.
That's right. That's
great,
right.
Great match.
Yeah. What does this say? Chris Jericho's best moments always looked a lot better when edited for television.
The fuck?
I don't know.
Maybe it just means that
It says here, yeah, his 1999 debut was epic, but The Rock kind of clowned him, didn't he? And his 2001 undisputed win was historic, but it took Booker T and Mr. McMahon an act of God for him to beat Steve Austin. Same goes for Jericho's Phantom 2000 title win, the moment that could have been a career definer had it not unraveled moments later.
Okay, I sort of see what you mean.
Still making the awkward transition from WCW defector to WWE main eventer, Y2J challenged the hated Triple H for the WWE title in State College, Pennsylvania. Oh, I love that. Who wrote this one? RM, it says. I don't know who RM is, but clearly he wants to stay employed.
No shit, huh?
Oh, fuck. That's number 24. No.
It was a really good match, a really good moment.
It was a great moment.
Yeah.
It definitely was a great moment. I don't know that it is it better than the casket match?
No, it's not better than that. Was it better than their last man standing? I don't think that was for the title, was it? The last man standing match between them?
I think it was. I think that was the next deal, and then they had the
Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
The last man standing was the best match. That was.
Yeah, it was.
The best match. That was awesome.
Okay, here's some steroids. Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar. So look at this picture, and you look at them now, right?
Yeah, Angle looks as big as Lesnar there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fucking crazy.
That is fucking nuts. From WrestleMania 19, where,
holy shit, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, 2003, 10 years ago. And, that's one, of course, where he's knocked out doing the shooting star, right?
Yeah.
So.
That was a wicked match.
That was a wicked match. Bruno Sammartino versus Killer Kowalski. Who would he ever train? And again, I'm sure this is a great match. And again, Bruno's back in the fold.
Well, that's the thing,
so
right?
You can throw some of his matches.
Not a lot of Bret Hart matches in here, huh?
Yeah. What the fuck? You must have said something about Hunter. Undertaker versus Rock versus Kurt Angle.
That was a tremendous match. That might be in WWE. I think in WWF, that's the second best.
Triple threat.
Yeah. Behind the WrestleMania 20 main event.
Yeah. And, I mean, I look at this, and I could tell you all sorts of things that happened in this match, and I was hammered watching this match. Like, that's how good it was.
It was a wicked match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2002, so. What's next? Rey Mysterio, John Cena from Raw.
Talk about that one. It's so good.
That one was good. That was
tremendous
when...
Tremendous match.
That was when...
Rey won the tournament to get the belt, and then defended against Cena the same night.
Because Ray worked, as in Vince McMahon's words, Ray worked really hard to win the WWF title.
That's right.
I remember that. Vince said WWF.
That's right. It was awesome. Great, though. That was right after John Cena and Punk, and he lost it.
Right after, yeah, it was the week after, after that. So.
It was great.
That was great. Lesnar, Undertaker, No Mercy, Hell in a Cell.
So that was great, too.
This was great. This was coming off of, they had that... biker chain match.
I like how every now and then you run across a picture that's in black and white. It's either because it's with Bruno Sammartino,
or there's blood.
Or there's blood.
Yeah.
And this one is black and white.
This one's blood, yeah.
A lot of blood there, but wicked match.
Coming off that chain match.
Yeah.
That they had.
It was also great.
It was great, but it had a fuck finish.
It did have
and
a
the pay-per-view went off the air on a fuck finish, and that kind of left a sour taste in the mouth. But then they came back with this, and it was great.
Lesnar comes
and they played off the chain match in this, too.
They did. And this match, what's really impressive is you're about 30 minutes in, and they've really been beating the shit out of each other and taking a lot of real, legitimate, heavy shit. And then Lesnar just takes him up right at the end, just throws him like an extra 4 feet in the air, grabs him like nothing, and gives him that
punch. And
you're just like, fuck, this dude is strong. It was crazy after everything he had gone through, that long a match that he was able to do that.
And this one, I'll pretend you said 18, LOL, the Iron Sheik against Hulk Hogan. Hulkamania is here, and the fans are on their feet.
Well, it's an important historic match. Not a great match. In fact, they had a rematch, I think, a month later.
Probably.
Where Hogan got disqualified because he took the shoes off the sheets that were loaded.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of bloody him open. It was actually a better match.
But I mean, again, Hogan and match quality isn't going to be used in the same sentence a lot of times. So this is a moment probably 10 too high, I would say. You can throw that around 28, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Again, because it's a moment. John Cena versus Rob Van Dam, one night stand.
I'm okay with that.
That's about right for it. I love the crowd and the fact that John Cena took his shirt off, threw it in the crowd, goes to, of all people, Tony Lewis of Strictly ECW, throws it back at him. I mean, just tremendous.
Yeah.
If Cena wins, we riot.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that
was a great match. The heat was so
I'd like to go back, actually, and watch a couple of those two one-night stands.
Let's do that.
Some live audio commentary.
Live audio commentary.
That's my doorman!
Exactly. Two words for you. Matt fucking Hardy.
That's three. Oh, that was great. But yeah, I should do a watch those again.
Yeah.
Once again, going on to number 16. Shawn Michaels, Mankind, In Your House, Mind Game.
Great.
Yeah.
I should probably have that higher.
I would probably, it might be 10 for me. But again, we'll see what's coming.
There's a lot of great stuff coming.
The fact that it's
now 17, 16, this will be tremendous.
The fact that it's in like the upper third is definitely right.
Yeah.
And even Shawn Michaels on the Mankind, that Mick Foley, the new documentary that he's got. Mm-hmm. Shawn says, he's like, I credit Foley for bringing that side out of me, out of my character.
It made Shawn feel more tough, more legitimate.
Yeah.
Because, exactly. That match really made him,
And he said, putting the match together, and Foley's giving him ideas and suggestions of what you want to do, and Sean's like, you really want to do that?
Yeah.
Like, and this isn't, like, Sean taking stuff. This is like, you want me to do that to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay.
And that was Shawn Michaels in 1996 saying that.
So. Yeah. Exactly. This was not as good as that match. Ric Flair versus Randy Savage, WrestleMania 8.
It was not as good as that, but it was really good. It was the second best match that night because the Piper Hart match was even better. But it was a really good match.
Also, to note, they got the date wrong on this. They say April 5th, 1993. This match happened in 1992.
That's true.
In the
true.
Hoosier Dome in Pontiac.
That's true, yeah.
Or Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis. Sorry.
Fucked that up,
Ajami. Screwed up with a Hoosier Dome.
Ajami.
Hmm?
Don't get the name wrong. That's wrong.
Ajamu? No, Ajami.
Ajayu. tell me, is that your dog or you?
Huh? Not my liver spot. Not my dog spot. But my spot. But yeah, so this was not this was not Randy Savage and Rick.
We really need to do this in a bigger room sometime. Or at least a room where you can open a window.
Why? The dog's closer to you. Anyway, this Flair Savage match.
Dog likes me more.
No. Remarkable.
I think it was a very good match, but not that high. I've been in the top 50.
I would have it in the top 50.
I'd probably have it in the top 40.
I would probably have it about 35, maybe. Yeah. John Cena, Edge, TLC, Unforgiven. This is the one that was what? Was this in Toronto? Or
this
was
is
this
the one
in,
I talked to Edge about there that we had
a
couple weeks ago.
So, yeah, definitely.
It was a good match. I don't think I have it that high. But it was a good match.
It was good, but not, exactly.
I think it probably was the best Cena Edge match.
Yeah, that's right. And again, Triple H Cactus Jack Royal Rumble. Looking number 13 here.
I think I have it in there. I wouldn't have it that high.
No,
I don't think it's as good. It's the match that made Triple H seem legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good
shockingly,
match.
Shockingly, against Foley.
Against Foley, and it is better probably than the Hell in a Cell match next month.
Yeah.
But I think it's not as good as the Mind Games match.
Think about what a difference 4 years makes.
Yeah.
In wrestling, where you go from In Your House Mind Games in '96 to this Royal Rumble. Not even. This is 3.5. Like,
yeah.
3.25 years later, and we're Royal Rumble Triple H Cactus Jack. So.
Yeah.
Makes you just kind of wonder about, 4 years from now or 3 years from now, you know what I mean?
Oh, God, who knows?
It's crazy. It's not likely.
I'm sure John Cena and Randy Orton will be in the main event.
That's true. And Sheamus will try to be funny.
Try.
Yes. Okay, so let's go to number 12 here. Brett Nolan, SummerSlam 94, Cage.
Oh, cool.
Talking about the Cage. And here's their Bret Hart match, right? And it's, I would note that it's actually ahead of a Hunter match. I'm just going to say. But anyway, it's Hunter. But yeah, this, again, we've talked about this match already. Great cage match. Best blue cage match.
Ever.
Number 11, Savage and Hogan. Mega Powers Explode.
Not quite as good a match, actually, as I would say, as a few of these ones we've just seen. But, again, a moment. Deserves to be on the list, not at number 11.
No, deserves to be in the second half.
Probably, yeah, 25, 24.
But again, these are ones maybe, again, I'd give you 10 points too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rock Mankind from Raw.
It wasn't a good match. It was a great moment.
This needs to be, like, number 41. It was a moment.
Yeah.
But not a match, no.
I'm going to go back and watch a lot of these matches again, though. Makes me desire to see them.
Yeah, some of these. Yeah, and for the first time in terms of that Backlund Billy Graham match, Dusty and stuff. So, that's 10, right? 9, Cena, Shawn.
WrestleMania? No.
No.
No. Not.
They had that match in England.
That was better.
The build to this was great.
Yes.
The
match in England, like I say, was better, but even that I wouldn't put in the top 50, probably. It's wanting to respect Shawn Michaels and wanting to put it over John Cena's greatness.
Exactly. That's what this is. But it's 40 points too high.
Minimum.
Yeah, if you're going to put it on the list. Yeah, lucky number 8 here. Let's see what we got. Undertaker versus Jeff Hardy.
That was a wicked
match. This was a wicked match, but it's...
I wouldn't have it that high. But it was one of those matches that you didn't expect much. This is the first time Jeff Hardy seemed like he could be legitimately considered a title contender.
That said,
in many ways, this was a match that made him as a single star.
Flip this with Mind Games.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, like...
Oh, God, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Or even the
cage match.
Even that, I was going to say that cage match, yeah. All right.
But it was a hell of a match. I probably have it in the top 30 or 20. Bret Hart versus 1-2-3 Kid on the Raw was an awesome match, too.
Interesting.
I think it's a little high.
It's about 30 points too high. Or
well,
points.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have a lot of Bret Hart matches ahead of that one.
This was a great match.
A tremendous match, sure. But, I mean, is it as good as the match against, Davey Boy Smith at, what was it called?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, In Your House, Seasons Beating.
Seasons Beating.
Yes.
It's not as good as that.
It is definitely not as good as that, and hopefully that's done, but I don't think it will
be.
So. But, yeah, I mean, this a great match, though.
I'm going to make the prediction right now. I could see them going, because Survivor Series opened, I could see the WrestleMania Iron Man match closing. It hasn't been on yet, has it?
That's true. It hasn't been.
I could see them thinking that that's clever.
I was thinking, I could see that too. I was thinking Austin Rock from WrestleMania 17.
Should be up there. That was a tremendous match.
But let's go next here. Number 6. Who is Hunter fighting? Hogan Warrior. Okay.
There you
the
go.
Peak of Hulkamania.
I probably put it about 10 spots lower, but it was great.
Yeah. It's there. Okay. Number 5.
Ric Flair wins the Royal Rumble.
Actually.
That's good.
Yeah, I total outside the box. Kudos to them for putting this in. I mean, when you talk about, Undertaker, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Jake Roberts, Ric Flair, obviously, who won it. But there you got the Texas Tornado. You got the British Bulldog, winner of the Covenant Samovar Trophy from the Royal Albert Hall earlier that year. Shawn Michaels. Hell, you got Tito Santana in there. Roddy Piper coming in there. This is one where you didn't have a lot of dungers. I think you might have had Million Dollar Man was in there.
Yeah.
Bret Hart was in there.
Yeah.
Bret Hart wasn't in there.
No.
Because he had the flu. Remember? And so Piper beat the Mountie earlier for the Intercontinental and then was also in the Royal Rumble.
That's right,
taking a spot. And in reality, they were doing a contract deal where they were afraid that Bret was going to take the Intercontinental title to the WCW.
How wrong.
I know, right? In reality, his contract rolled over and he couldn't go. But, I mean, Bob Backlund, I think, was in this. I mean, you had all these guys. I mean, I'm looking at the guys in the ring right now. I think the worst guy right now in the ring
I don't think you mentioned Hacksaw. I don't think you mentioned...
No. Boss Man.
Was in there.
Worst guy in the ring right now, Barbarian, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You know?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Had a hell of a career. So,
yeah, good big man.
Yeah.
So.
But, that's great. And then that... I mean, yeah, number 5.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. 4. Okay, Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it's certainly up there.
I don't have a problem with that.
I would think top 10. I don't know about top 5, but it's definitely a match that's in the consideration.
I don't have a problem with
Money in the Bank match between these two was CM Punk with tremendous.
And again, from put over your guys now.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't really have a problem with that one. We haven't seen Hogan Andre yet.
No, we haven't. No.
The Irresistible Force being the immovable object, and just. So I'm curious. Number 3 at WrestleMania 3. Shit match. Obviously. From the moment, like you said, your peak of Hulkamania.
Yeah.
So, on the list, yes. Another 20 points too high.
30 points, I think.
I think you still put in the second half because of the moment.
Maybe
this is the spot where instead of DiBiase Savage at 27... You maybe put this one in, and I don't have so much a problem with it.
Yeah.
You know. 2. Okay, there's your... So, yeah, I'm thinking Iron Man match is number 1. But this is number 2 is The Rock Stone Cold Steve Austin from WrestleMania 17.
This is tremendous. That's the best of the Rock Austin trilogy at WrestleMania.
It is, definitely.
And they're all good, but that was the best.
And here comes the number 1, the Iron Man match. Like you said, probably clever to bookend these things.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not that good. I love the match from the psychology standpoint, but in a lot of ways, it's a little slow-paced.
Yeah. What would you say?
Storytelling point, Yeah, maybe. But
so what's your number one then?
I don't know. I really
again,
don't.
Yeah, I know. It's
because it's. I'd have to spend more time to think about it. It could very well be something that isn't on the list. Looking at the list, the one that would stick out to me would be the Mankind Shawn Michaels
Mind Games
match. I'm having trouble seeing something that I think
again,
is better.
Conspicuous by its absence, season's beatings.
Of course. How many Bret Hart matches do we have here?
Well, we had the Owen Cage, the 1-2-3 Kid,
yeah.
The Screw Job.
Yeah, they're all top on the list. Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's got five
but,
in there.
You know, I mean, who else did he defend the belts against? Especially when I think about it.
Right?
Diesel. That Diesel match is doing very good. The Undertaker, yes.
The Royal Rumble?
I was going to say his defense against Shawn Michaels at the Royal Rumble was tremendous.
Hmm?
That match. Or Survivor Series, sorry. The Survivor Series Shawn Michaels match.
In 92. Yes. In '92.
'92. That match was awesome.
Yeah.
I would have that in there. That was a great match.
Actually, that was a great match. Yeah.
I would have.
Yeah. What about did Hunter and Shawn have title matches? They must have. Like, they had that Royal Rumble match where didn't they both get stretchered out? Was that for the belt?
That's for the
but
world
that was a world title.
The World Heavyweight Championship.
It wasn't a WWE Championship.
The same
you're
thing,
right.
I think
you're right.
Kurt Angle defending against Chris Benoit, for instance, for the WWE title.
Yeah, but he's dead.
But
so he killed himself
you can't
and other
put that
people,
in,
too.
Right?
I mean, three-way, it was for the big gold belt, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The WrestleMania. WrestleMania 20. I'm trying to think of... You know, like, when you go through the list, Hogan, it was Savage and Warrior were his matches. You have Savage, his first run, you know, it was really Warrior. Or was really Hogan, I mean.
Yeah.
Because he never had the... I mean, well, he had the Wembley Stadium match against Warrior.
I think that could have been on there.
Yeah.
I would have had that.
I could have thrown that on there.
I think that match, like I said, I actually enjoyed that match more than the WrestleMania.
Obviously, Ellsmore didn't have anything other than the Hogan. And then you go to, if you're going to throw some cage matches and throw some more moments in here, like that Boss Man Hogan Saturday night's main event cage match is better than some
good,
of the things on here. With that superplex.
He had a cage match against Don Morocco.
Mm.
After he first won the belt, that was really a bloody mess, and it was actually really good.
That was on the fallout from after. That was before Orndorff and after Bundy, because it was Morocco that helped hold Hogan down while
that's
Bundy crushed his ribs
that's
there.
Right. Yeah.
But again, I'm all the way up to Warrior here, and then again, you got another run of Hogan. Nothing. Flair's first run was unremarkable.
The Heart and Soul match. How the hell don't you have that match?
Well, exactly. You got Heart and Soul. But again, I mean, I'm going up to, with Diesel. I mean, the Diesel Brett Survivor Series wasn't bad.
No, not at all.
That was probably Kevin Nash's best match that I've seen him have.
It's up there.
And
Good Friends Better Enemies of the matches.
And that's not on there, and that should be.
That's another one that could be on there.
I could throw that on. Because nothing on the Diesel era, you know, that year was anything. Nothing on the Yokozuna front, was anything.
No.
We have the Bret Owen, the big match. There was the cage.
What about Bret against Razor Ramon? That was very good, too.
From the Royal Rumble, 1993.
Yeah.
It was there, there's some, and again, unfortunately, there were a lot of good matches in that Attitude Era with Austin and Rock.
Absolutely.
But they all kind of, blurred
together
because of Russo. And
they're happening on, I would put in, though, I love the first Blood match against Kane. I think that was great the same night as
Right after Foley Hell in the Cell.
I think that was awesome, and I also love the match the next night when Austin wins it back.
There was an Austin Undertaker title match where I think Austin won the title back on Raw that was very good.
Yeah, well, how about their SummerSlam match?
Highway to Hell, yeah.
Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was a very good match, great match. And then they did do the Royal Rumble I Quit match there. You know, I don't know, halftime heat probably isn't
No, I don't think
it's I'm just trying to go chronologically.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other one matches I mean that Rock had there that I would think of. It's, you know, he must have had some more. He had a match against Angle actually where he won the belt back.
You know what's not on here?
Before WrestleMania 17.
And this might not. I'm sorry, before. Oh, yeah.
So he won the belt the month before when he beat Angle for the belt. The same night as the first Three Stages of Hell match with Austin
and Hunter.
That was a really good match, too.
Yes, it was. Well, and I don't know, this may be for the big gold belt, but I thought it was always thought it was for the WWE title. There was that Undertaker Kurt Angle.
Oh, yes, that was definitely for the big gold belt.
Okay. So that one,
because that was after Batista switched with Cena.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. So that one wouldn't go. Yeah, because that's right. But okay. So that's the 50.
Interesting.
Greatest matches. There.
You know what? I'm sure there's more than that. Though I'm sure I could think of more than that. That, you know, I mean, having something like Punk Jericho on there just kind of pisses me off, to tell you the truth, when you think of some of those other ones that missed out.
Yeah.
And also...
And even that Savage DiBiase. You know what I mean?
When you're
thinking of what needs to be on the list here. So, anyway, let's... that's good. We watched NXT.
We did watch NXT. You know, what stands out about NXT is what's been standing up for a long time. Bray Wyatt is the best character in the WWE on the main roster or in developmental.
Yes.
He's so good, so charismatic, decent enough in the ring. The question is, when you bring him up, do you bring up other members of his family? They work with him, but there's reasons to not bring them up. And also the question is now the time to bring him up? Because they have kept no heel strong. And how quickly can you push him? I don't think you can push him right to the top right away anyway. I think you need to take a long time to establish the character. So.
Yeah, and that's just it, is you don't want to push him to the moon. You know, so you need to let him simmer and go. Sort of what they were doing with Antonio Cesaro before they thought he was boring, you know? Giving him that...
Think that about Bray Wyatt, at least.
No, but in the fall there, and then when in the... Antonio Cesaro was quietly becoming something.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when he put that neutralizer move on Brody Clay and then Kali within short order,
yeah,
they didn't follow that up properly.
No, but that's when they started to sit up and take notice and ended up kiboshing him.
Yeah.
Like, that was like almost...
Shortly after he's facing the Miz, and then...
It was cool, and then it was the worst thing that happened to him. Exactly. I mean, so... but we did see the debut of, Sami Zayn, El Generico.
Yeah.
Who had a match against Antonio Cesaro, actually.
That was nothing like, if you had watched them wrestle each other in ROH.
Yeah.
I mean, it was WWE style, and it was, not terribly exciting. The crowd in the Full Sail University shows no enthusiastic response for most of the product.
Yeah, and they're just kind of there and seeing and waiting. They're looking for the stars, really, is what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know, they're
exactly
there to see. Because, you know, at every show, they've got somebody there.
They
right?
bring over a Jericho or something like that.
Or a Cena or a Sheamus or, you know, someone, Stephanie, is going to be there, you know, kind of thing. So,
you said stars.
Oh. It's really, you know, that's kind of what they go for. So,
but,
kind of like going to an indie show where you go to see the stars, and then the other guys wrestle, too.
But, yeah, I mean, El Generico's going to be looking to find his way there for a while, but, fair debut for him. They at least booked him strong.
Yeah, exactly. So they booked him that way, and you know, we saw some really shitty women. We saw Bray Wyatt, which was good. So, yeah, it was all good. Tonight, as we're recording...
Can you bring up Bray now?
Huh? I would. Yeah, after WrestleMania here, I definitely would.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's
after Payback, which is just 2 weeks away, I bring him up. Next time you have like 6 week builds to a pay per view, or 4 week, or 5 week, you know, next time it's not right around the corner again.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I bring him up.
Yeah, I just start him on SmackDown, you know, just beating guys and
that's where Ryback started.
Yeah, same idea. I give him the same kind of deal as Ryback, different, you know, obviously character, but same concept with how you bring him up.
Yep, for sure.
So,
but I do the vignettes you know, I do the.
Oh, I keep those vignettes exactly that they already have.
Vignettes and music.
That is great. So I do that, and yeah, I mean, like you said, there's reasons to bring his family up. Luke Harper and from the other guy's name, Eric Rowan. There's reasons to bring them up and to not bring them up. You're right. They fit in. They have that look.
Yeah.
And they're big, and they could be a tag team. It's just a matter of you have to keep them strong as well. I almost wonder, though, if you talked about the Shield when we were talking, you know, when we were watching some stuff, and I almost wonder if you need a little bit more time with the Shield to kind of bring them to that line, then you can bring the Wyatt family in so that you don't really want the Shield and the Wyatt family to cross paths.
Not for a long time.
For a long time, right? And they don't know how to do anything not for a long time.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, so I'm still waiting for
the Shield of baby faces, which someday they will be.
I'm still waiting for Big E Langston to turn on Ziggler at or around SummerSlam.
Yeah.
You know, and that shouldn't be happening for a long time.
No, exactly.
Because he's going to be Caitlyn's secret admirer.
Yeah.
Right? And Caitlyn and AJ have the thing, so that's where you go, and then you get mixed tags and shit.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, shit.
Literally.
Tonight, as we're taping this, NXT title changes hands as Bo Dallas is your new NXT champion, beating Big E Langston.
That's interesting, actually. It's probably the right move in both for Bo Dallas, which he should be an NXT, but a champion. There's no problem with that. And it's also the right move to get the belt off of Big E. I imagine he wins it not clean.
He is turning heel, right?
Yeah.
Or starting his heel.
But I understand, I was of the understanding, at least from the way they were doing the storyline tonight, that Bray Wyatt was next in line for a title shot. Was the number one contender, or was kind of...
No. There was a number one contendership battle royal.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And Bo Dallas won the battle royal. And that's why I got to fight Big E Langston. And Big E's a baby face down there.
But again, if he's turning heel and Bray Wyatt's heel, and that's your hottest character. Well, I guess in this Cassius Ohno as well, though, that they turned babyface.
Cassius has turned babyface. You got, if Oliver Gray is still hurt, you got Pac with Adrian Neville got some things. You got our favorite guy, Corey Graves, CM Light.
CM Light.
And,
yeah.
You know, so there's some challengers there.
Yeah, for sure.
They can do some things. But then you can bring in WWE guys, you know, the low-level
sure,
WWE
guys. Right.
Yeah, or, you know, Miz even can fight Bo Dallas, for God's sakes, right?
Exactly.
So, and well,
I was just wondering, based on Raw, if they're kind of returning Wade Barrett, him and Fandango, kind of just that.
They mentioned something on SmackDown. I think he lays him out on SmackDown or
something like that.
So, yeah.
They just kind of continue up.
Does have the new music.
Yeah.
So
kind of, which starts off with the English.
Yeah, something like God Save the Queen, or God Save Our Queen, or
something like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of lyrics, I'm just thinking to myself, we got everything, but we just got to get that final verse in, and just, what can we do for that verse? We need to take it to that next level now. This is where we need to flip the switch, you know? Flip the switch, brother. Hit the switch.
Your mom, she came and gave me crabs. Your mom, she came, but now I itch a lot. Itch a lot, I have cream for those crabs. Those crabs are the crabs your mom gave me last night.
I don't know about that one.
That was actually a true story.
Oh. Yeah, your mom raised the price.
Everybody's got a price.
$1.25.
Yeah. Oh, my mom is Sapphire.
Of course, that gets you her for the whole week.
That's true. Yes. But the thing with the funny part about that is that after I banged your mom last night, she said, absolutely perfect. Mm. So, it's great. Impact, speaking of your mom. We watched Impact tonight.
After I banged your mom, she asked me to pick the Kurt Axel.
Really? Huh. Because it wasn't working either? I don't know about the Kurt Axel, but I gave your mom the shaft. What did you think about Impact?
I liked it. I mean, Impact, again, much better than Raw. Live Impact we were watching.
From Tampa, Florida.
I mean, not great, but decent. I mean, it's the second best show, or second show before, second next show will be the Go Home Show.
Right.
This anniversary.
Yeah.
Debut of the Suicide character, not sure who's playing him.
T.J. Perkins.
Who's that?
He's a former Ring of Honor wrestler. So it is a new guy that they brought in.
Oh, good. He did a really nice job.
He did.
As Suicide.
Yeah.
Really good job. And by that, I don't mean that he lost. He won.
He did win.
A nice performance. You know, the women's match that they're going to have with Gail Kim and, what's her name?
Taryn Terrell. Tiffany?
Yeah. Tiffany from ECW and SmackDown. It's going to be a last knockout.
Last knockout standing.
Which is different. I like that. I love that they're there. Every now and then they'll give a gimmick match to the women in TNA.
Yeah.
In Impact Wrestling.
So think about how...
ever do that.
Well, you think of how uncomfortable they were when Victoria and Trish Stratus had that hardcore match.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Great match.
Tremendous, yeah.
But
they were very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They just don't do that. They don't ever give a gimmick match. And they will do that over in Impact Wrestling. Another thing they do better in WWE.
Tiffany, though? I don't know about Tiffany. But
Gail Kim's good enough to carry.
She is, I guess, yeah.
Gail Kim's extremely good. So, yeah, I mean, Gunnar being introduced as the
partner of James Storm, Cowboy James Storm, and it seems like James Storm going back into the tag team division, which is really where he belongs in TNA.
We'll see. With the Bound for Glory tournament going on, we'll see.
Well, that's right. We did figure the Bound for Glory tournament is going to be interesting.
Another interesting, very interesting thing released from this is James Storm talking to Chris Sabin. Mentioned that he has a chance, Sabin has a chance to become X Division champion, and in doing so,
yes,
he'll have an opportunity to cash in.
Cash in for the world title, which is, again, they started that last year with Austin Aries at Destination X, which, of course, isn't a pay-per-view that
no,
has.
No, it was created to be every year at Destination X. You can cash that in, but you have to give up the title if you want to cash in an opportunity to get a world title shot.
That's right.
And it was a really cool thing they did. Austin Aries was, say, cashing in one title and got over the angle. It was really, really cool. And, of course, we were looking forward to that at this year's Destination X, and then they announced there's only going to be the four pay-per-views. Destination X isn't one of them. So
that's right.
Where are they going to do it?
Impact.
Or Bound for Glory. No, they can't do it about
no,
Glory. That's
can't.
Bound for Glory
they
series.
Can't. Exactly.
Could you do it? Could you wait all the way till next year's Genesis? I think that's too far. So that said, you're right. It has to be a special impact. That's really interesting, and they can build around that. So I'm looking forward to that.
The only reason I think that that's too far, I don't think that that's too far, Ladu. But the fact that they mentioned it tonight tells me that they're going to do it on an Impact.
Maybe.
And
either way, though, if it's done right, it could be a big Impact.
Well, you think of
like
literally. But you think of the fact that, I mean, they have 4 months in between pay-per-views. So something in August, you know, before football season starts and you can conceivably get a big audience, bigger audience, that would maybe be a time to...
And the thing is, I really think if you do it on an Impact, the second year in a row, you have to have the guy win it again. Whoever cashes in needs to win again to continue to get that idea over going forward that... Even on regular TV, it could happen like they did with Austin Aries. I think that Chris Sabin does appear to be that guy.
It's very much Money in the Bank.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't know that Chris Sabin is that guy.
He appears to be only because they mentioned it tonight, and also because he talked about wanting to be the world champion.
So, that's true.
So,
that's true.
So it just appears, but it's still ways away, and we don't know. But it was interesting. Also interesting, like I say, Magnus with James Storm. What else happened? AJ Styles appears to have joined Ace of Eight, and then last minute swerve.
He didn't.
On them as well.
And hits them with the hammer
because
as well.
Earlier, he had hit Kurt Angle.
He hit Kurt Angle in the knee with it, yeah.
So AJ continues to be kind of the guy who is... He's nobody's side. It's not that he's out for himself. It's that he is a heel because he attacks Kurt Angle. So, I mean, his actions are still very heelish.
So you have to put him on the heel side. But he'll also attack the heels. I wouldn't call him a tweener. A tweener is more somebody who, it's like they don't necessarily act heel or face. He definitely acts heel. I do think it's their idea of a tweener, mind you. But yeah, I mean it's an interesting thing they continue to do with AJ Styles, and they're continuing to make that focus of the show is the main event.
What I like about the AJ Styles,
I have to say the Shark Boy. And
give me a shell, yeah. And Robbie E.
Robbie E was pretty funny.
Yeah.
When he came out trying to join James Storm.
Yeah, and Chavo was hilarious when Robbie E came out and he said, "This pay per view is getting easier."
Yeah.
This match is getting easier and easier.
Yeah, that was a great line.
But I think that with this AJ thing, I like that I said he's having heelish tendencies,
yeah.
But he's not forgetting his past, is really what it boils into.
Yeah.
He's not aces and eights, so he can hit them.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of gone heel, so he can beat up on the faces like James Storm and Kurt Angle. But he also will beat up Bad Influence and Aries and Rude because he doesn't forget his past.
Yeah.
So there's really, he is kind of on his own, and there isn't... But it's logical.
And I love that he never talks. I love.
Yeah, I was kind of worried at the end when he started to yell at, when he was yelling
was
at
okay.
Ace.
He was yelling, but.
And he wasn't mic'd, at least. So,
no.
It's kind of like, don't do more of that.
Another one of the great moments on this show, Joseph Park talking to Sting.
And Sting,
basically Sting saying to him,
next week,
we need a Biff.
It's the Dudleys, and Hogan has announced that the Dudleys is going to fight Sting and a partner, and Sting wants it to be a Biff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked Joseph Park to, well, the first thing Joseph Park says, he goes, well, the guys, they're telling me that I'm going to get the strap, and I don't know that I like that. That sounds like it hurts. And
yeah.
He's like, no, you get the strap. You get the belt. You get the title. It's a good thing. Oh, right. Thank you so much, Sting. You know, you teach me something every day. Every time I talk to you, Sting,
Learn
something new. And then he asks, he says, well, I want a Biss. And you can help me get a Biss. And he goes, Sting, I don't know where a Biss is.
Yeah, I
haven't talked to him. I'd love to talk to him. I'd love to catch up with my brother.
Yeah.
And Sting just goes, you're going to kayfab me to the very end, aren't you?
It was awesome.
Which was great because
it plays off of something from a long time
but
ago.
But as I said, and it does, but it's also not beating you over the head like WWE saying that Abyss and Joseph Park, we at home know it's the same guy.
Yeah.
He does that morph thing that they're showing, the same guy.
Yeah, and it's the guys in the locker room know it's the same guy, but we don't know.
But this is our, and again, this
if Joseph Park and Abyss know it's the same guy, if they are working us, or if he doesn't know at all, we don't know that.
And
everybody's in on it, but it's.
And this is the wrestling license, because the logic would be, look, you're Abyss. Right? No one's coming out and saying that, right?
No.
And that's good. But I like that. And then what else was on the show? The main event was AJ and
exactly. And I'd like to say Magnus and Samoa Joe kind of reforming again.
They're kind of Samoa Joe come back for the save
the Judge Check challenge, Battle for Glory series thing. We didn't really see anything this week. I guess that's next week. We'll see that.
Well, we're supposed to have Sam Shaw against, and that's where Magnus come in. And again, and it was supposed to be against, Alex Silva, but Alex Silva never showed up, and they said that they jumped him from in the back, and Wes Briscoe came out at the back.
They didn't still want Alex Silva on TV.
They do not, no, and neither do I.
No. Alex Silva, who got the contract, because
Ric Flair screwed up.
He got excited and gave him the contract on live TV when he wasn't supposed to. Because he's Ric Flair. Well, apparently, I understand Silva had offered to pay Ric Flair's bar tab. And he just couldn't pass up an offer like that. And thought, what the hell? I'll give this kid a shot. He's going to be around. I'm going to be around TNA for a long time. He's going to be around TNA for a long time, paying my bar tab. And who knew that it wasn't going to work out that way? What do you have to say on that there, Mr. Addy, as you let your dog out?
Can you pay? Woo-hoo! My bar tab! No, I let the dog in. It's fucking raining outside.
I know. I got to drive home in this trip.
I know. Well, it's not snow.
No. Amazing. It is in the mountains.
I know, right? Yeah, oh yeah. Well, it's long weekend, so my dog's fucking wet. Like your mom. That's Harry.
Your mom?
Hmm?
My mom?
Your mom, yeah.
That's Harry?
Yeah. Is that her name? Les Harry?
Les Harry?
Yeah.
Oh. She's on WKRP.
Oh, right, right. With the Hog Report. He reports on your mom.
I thought he reported on my penis.
Hmm?
The Hog.
Is there a little bit of news? But, breaking news.
Yeah,
so that was Impact. Like you said, good show. I thought better than Raw as well. Again, really,
had to be.
2 hours.
Raw next week, look, because the Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, that should make the show.
Yeah, and hopefully that's on TV. Because the fact is now, I've started to wonder if Bret, because Bret Hart Appreciation, I didn't
mean. He'll throw up even before that, even if on TV.
With Hunter.
Could be something.
About
yeah,
Hunter.
Could be.
I don't think it'll be a Bret Hart thing. I think it'll be about Hunter.
Could be.
But, I mean, Shawn's on TV, so that'll be good.
Yeah. And we don't know who else is going to be there that we don't normally see.
That's right.
To celebrate this.
That's right. So that'll be...
Perhaps the Mountain. Mountie will be there.
Oh, that would be excellent.
I said the Mountain again, but I was thinking about mounting your mom.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mountain. Just going over the Impact tapings for next week here. Bad Influence.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, whatever. Bad Influence and X Factor beat Storm, Gunnar, Chavo, and Hernandez. Oh, no, sorry.
X Factor?
It Factor.
Oh,
Bad Influence and It Factor lost to Storm, Gunnar, Chavo, and Hernandez.
Okay.
Storm didn't tag in at all.
Cursed.
Okay. He's hurt, yeah.
He shouldn't be wrestling for 2 months.
Yeah.
They can work around it.
Sting pins D-Von after distraction from the Abyss entrance video.
Who is his partner?
Joe Park.
Okay.
Dixon Carter is out
there. I'm actually looking forward to that. I can't wait to see Sting's reaction.
Mm-hmm. Dixon Carter is out next. Slammiversary, they'll announce the next TNA Hall of Famer.
Okay.
So, Aces and Eight interrupts.
What did they announce? Angle? I put even money on Angle.
Yeah.
Angle's kind of being built as their next.
They should announce Jeff Jarrett.
Legend. Yeah, they should.
They should announce Jeff Jarrett.
They won't.
I don't think they will either, but it
at this point ever. Nothing's forever.
No. No, exactly. But
you know, if they're not using him, yeah, I mean, he's persona non grata.
You're right. But it should be Jeff Jarrett.
Even behind the scenes, though, he's...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, no, politically, he's not there.
Yeah, but it should be. You're right.
Yeah.
But I'll bet Angle.
Anyway, Aces and Eight come out, surround Dixie, and Joe and Magnus make the save. Then Joe and Magnus beat...
Oh, Dixie's going to be on TV.
Well, yeah, she's announcing the cessation.
Is she a better Angle actress than Brooke Hogan? That's the other thing.
Brooke Hogan and
Bully Ray. Bully Ray saying he still loves her.
Yeah.
And Brooke is confused as to what she should do. Even if he still loves you, he's still an asshole. So maybe you just fucking walk away from a logical point of view. But actually, maybe not from a logical point of view. Because the heart wants what the heart wants, motherfucker. And so who knows? It's a storyline. It's actually an interesting twist.
I thought it was a pretty good twist, yeah. And it's Bully Ray being a dick, too.
Yeah. And even the guys in the back are like, why are you... Anchor, and he's like, I don't want to talk about my life.
I don't want to do my personal life. Okay. Dilo, did you wash the bikes? Did you get the ice?
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff there.
That was good. Joe and Magnus.
I don't hate Brooke Hogan on my TV.
No.
I hate it. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's going to be Aces and Eights of Doc, Wes Briscoe, and Bischoff against Joe Magnus and Jeff Hardy at the pay-per-view.
Okay.
So, Mickey James promo, she wants to do her...
Oh, that's right. She's kind of... So we didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
She won the knockout championship against an injured Velvet Sky. She gave Velvet Sky a chance to postpone the match until she was healthy, saying she wanted to get her healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the match, did a chop block kind of heelishly. And
focused on the knee and really had that kind of evil grin.
Yeah, but didn't all-out turn, which is better.
Yes.
So it's a storyline characterization, WWE.
over.
Learn from it.
It's chaptered. It's over time, right?
Yeah.
And then she does a promo, calls out Velvet Sky, wants a rematch at Slammiversary. Gail Kim comes out, runs down Velvet and attacks her. Taryn makes the save for Velvet, and Mickey just leaves.
Okay, again.
So that's the thing. Not out and out.
Not out and out heel.
Not a striking heelish move.
No.
But going there.
And a heel, a slow burn heel turn. Good.
Yeah.
Not Del Rio all of a sudden saving the announcers and turning babyface. Or
exactly.
This type of
all
bullshit.
Of a sudden, yeah.
Yeah.
Kenny King and Gail Kim against Taryn Terrell and Chris Sabin. Sabin pinned King with the cradle shock.
Perfect.
Post-match, King cuts off a Sabin promo, and Suicide runs into attack King, because that's the three-way.
That's the three-way, yeah.
That's perfect. Now this, a long match between Ken Anderson and AJ Styles.
Interesting.
Yeah. Angle attacks AJ for the DQ. Aces and Eights go after AJ, but the locker room of Magnus, Joe Parks, Samoa Joe, Sting make the save. Everyone brawls, leaving Sting and Bully alone in the ring. Sting puts him in a scorpion, and Devon saves, and they hit Sting with the 3D, and Aces and Eights stand over and pose over Sting as the show ends.
Sounds like a perfect go-home.
It does, actually. Okay. This sounds like a great go-home show overall.
Yeah, it does. And just now you want to, if you're watching this, you go, okay, now I want to see Sting get revenge.
And we
forgot about Sting forgetting what he was talking about. Fidelity is a big bitch.
What the hell? He kept stumbling over his words, that, and finally he recovered by going, I'm so excited, I can't even talk!
Yeah, at the beginning, when he was saying how he was giving up his chance to ever challenge for the title again, he forgot what he was supposed to say if he doesn't win.
It was like, that no good, and low let, and he was trying to give some stuff.
And the look on Hogan's face, like, come on, brother, pull it together. And he doesn't, so instead he just turns and screams to the audience, I'm so excited! And you see the look on Hogan's face going, oh, fuck, are you in your first year in the business?
Yeah, exactly. What's the show, Super Bowl? I don't even know!
Exactly.
Can I rip this t-shirt off? I don't even know!
Lex Luger. Go just type in Lex Luger blooper.
Yeah,
type
in Lex Luger versus the t-shirt.
Yes.
That will,
it's so awesome.
Oh, it is.
He was on NWA.
God, I don't even know. It was some indie show.
It was NWA something. Like,
yeah.
NWA,
it was Super Brawl Saturday. Super Saturday? What is it?
Like
I don't even know.
2003, something like that.
I was going to say 03.
Yeah,
out there.
So awesome.
Yeah. He'd already killed Elizabeth at that point.
Oh, wow.
Was Elizabeth?
Did
I kill Elizabeth? I don't even know.
Oh, God.
Call me Addie.
That's parody, folks. Anyways,
let's look at any other thing to talk about those Impact Boys. We're talking about watching Slammiversary now. We really hadn't had that discussion before when we were watching Impact, and I kind of looked at you and said, are we watching Slammiversary?
Yes.
And I think we are.
I think we are. We don't have to pay many. I get them 50% off.
That's true.
We don't have to buy many of them, and I like what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, especially with that go-home show, I'm pretty sure I'm going to want to watch it.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the NXT tapings now. JR does a contract signing for Big E and Bo Dallas. We talked about Bo there. I guess Bo Wind, that's his gimmick now. You know, Corey Graves.
Bo Wind,
yeah.
That always works. That always is over.
Yeah, exactly. They're doing an NXT women's tournament, as we talked about. Tamina Snuka pinned. Oh, Paige. Paige beat Tamina. And so that's going to be a little bit of an upset there, but that's it. Mason Ryan wins in a squash match. We talked a little bit about while we were watching it, that, you know, doing a comparison between who's better, Mason Ryan or Rob Terry, Robbie T from TNA. And I think as we were both watching it, I think the consensus was that Mason Ryan is definitely better than Robbie T. He just has a more of a presence about him. He definitely has the charisma to make up for.
Yeah, he has more charisma and a little more snap in his moves. His offense looks a little bit tighter.
And he can move better.
He just seems a little less lumbering.
Well, yeah, lumbering's the best
lumbering,
word. Yeah.
To me, this looks like any sign of a banana.
No, but when Paige won, the crowd went banana.
Oh, okay.
So, very popular Paige. Alex, the
anti-diva.
That's right. The Ascension Conor O'Brien beat Alex Riley, who I'm waiting to be wished well in his future endeavors soon.
You don't think this summer Riley cut up?
Oh, it's still, maybe he could team with Kurt Axel. Rye Axel or something. I don't know. But they would lose, though, to Ryzak.
Yeah.
Because Ryzak, Roo.
Yeah, I would keep a guy like Joe Henning around because he could work for 15 minutes on the robot side or make him look good on TV and put them over. Alex Riley can't even do either one of those two things.
No, that's true.
And, we wish you the best.
Wyatt Family beat Corey Graves and Cassius Ohno in an NXT Championship match.
Tag match,
right?
They're the Wyatt Family.
Is a tag champ.
Those two dudes, the big dudes, are the champions.
Yeah, Eric Rowan and Harper.
Yeah,
Luke Harper. So
you have a Luke Harper, and you also have a guy down there named Bo. They haven't put them as a team, Bo and Luke.
Well, no, but actually. When you say that, there was a time in FCW, before it was NXT, that Bo Dallas, and it was Bo Rotunda and Luke Rotunda. That's what they were. Is Husky Harris was Luke Rotunda, and that's what they were, the Duke Boys.
And now you could do Luke Harper, and you know what else? You could bring over Dixie Carter, to maybe hire them in Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
In Dixie Shorts.
No.
Isn't that what AJ Lee was wearing there? Some Dixie shorts? What is up with it? I understand the idea is to get them over such bitches and heels that they insult everybody, but the fact that the divas, what do you call it, the twins, Bella twins.
Oh, the Bella twins, yeah.
Like, they, like, slam even, like, the other heels just comes across weird.
I think that's
the way they insult AJ. She almost makes her seem all of a sudden sympathetic.
I think that's part of the Bella, but that's for the reality
show. That's for the reality show.
I think,
shitty.
It is shitty.
And
but
putting it on TV when it's going to be a reality show in 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
He told me tonight that Sam Raj Del Sol, who we raved about being here in Calgary, was hired.
He is cut. Yeah. He's signing, I guess. He's in the process. It's now a couple-month process, right?
I'd say he would be great in TNA and X Division. I wonder if he's too small for the WWE because he's tremendously short. He's like 5'6", 5'7".
It all
but
be
so good.
Depending, yeah, exactly, on what they do with him. And again, with Rey Mysterio, that type character, if they do that, right?
Well, they're still looking for that guy.
That's true.
And I don't know whether or not Samurai Goldflow, I don't know if he actually is from Mexico or what his background is.
I don't know where he's from, no. I'm just looking here. Alicia Fox, out of the box, loose.
Unboxed.
Loose.
Go back and listen to our Royal Rumble shows when we
had
the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Those are great stories.
That reference.
They beat Bayley. She beat somebody named Bayley in the first round of the NXT tournament.
Becky Bayley?
I don't know. Bayley is the name. I don't know who Bayley is. And then, as we said, Bo Dallas won the
one who couldn't dance tonight?
No, that's... I don't remember who that is. We couldn't remember her name. I'm trying to... Emma.
That's Emma. Yeah. And the girl that got released that she was interacting with.
It was Audrey Marie.
Awful.
Yes. And the one that got released was the better of the two. In that interaction.
So apparently she has a bad attitude. So she'll deny it.
That's right. They always do. Let's see here. Following the match with Bo Dallas winning, he cut a babyface promo. Babyface Celebration Pro, despite being booed vocally by the crowd.
Perfect.
So that's excellent. Aaron Neville beat Bray Wyatt by DQ. Dusty Rhodes came out and made a six-man match for the main event with Aaron Neville, Corey Graves, and Cassius Ohno against the Wyatt family. And then Wyatt pins Neville. So, there you go. Sami Zayn, El Generico, beat someone named Angelo Dawkins. So just a Tornado DT at the corner, so just a squash.
Yeah. He's not allowed to do anything too spectacular, but thank God he got rid of his old finisher, the brain buster into the corner, turnbuckle in the corner.
Yeah.
I hated that dangerous-looking move.
Yeah, that he could never
do. I never heard of anybody getting injured off of it, but I don't care. I hated it so much.
No, exactly. It was just
a matter of time.
And yeah, WWE just knew. Summer Rae beat Sasha Banks in NXT Women's Tournament. That was in...
They taped four episodes in one night. That's a lot of fucking airing. I guess it's no more than Impact, is it? It's 4 hours.
So, well, and I mean, they do... What is it? If it's a 42-minute show...
Yeah.
So you figure it with some pre-tapes or whatever, you can do it about 35, so... It's probably about a 2.5 hour.
It's like a
hockey game.
I think it's going to be more than that. But.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, it's episode 4, and we'll just keep going. Episode 4, and a post-taping segment. So I could see, yeah, I guess it's that's 3.5 hours. That's 3.5, 4 hours, yeah.
I kind of think that most TV shows would go through at least that.
Yeah, that's true.
4.5, 5 hours, 7 hours.
Yeah.
They tend to miss time, those fuckers.
They do, fuckers. Xavier Woods pre-tape promo with him cracking a few jokes about his previous appearances and multiple times he beat El Locale.
Hmm.
So, and then Xavier Woods beat Jake Carter, who's Vader's son.
Vader's kid. Who looks about as much like Vader as I do.
Less.
Good point.
You're... I don't know how many times I've yelled at you, move!
It's time. Hurry up, but it's time. I'm desiring a frother from
Wendy's. Oh, right, yeah.
From Wendy's. Fucking move in here.
It's true.
Long show.
Yes. Let's see here. Langston beat Aiden English. And some antics. Oh, here we go. Okay, Leo.
Hopefully he won't be in NXT at all anymore.
No, hopefully this was kind of a swan song. Leo Kruger beat Dante Dash in a squash.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Dallas beat Mickey Keegan. I believe Mickey Keegan, I may be wrong on this, but I believe Mickey Keegan is the son of Kris Kristofferson. I think that's the...
I think you might be right, yeah.
Yeah. And after the match, Leo Kruger attacked Keegan and had an awkward standoff with Bo Dallas.
Okay.
So who knows? Thank God Emma beat Oksana in the Women's Championship Tournament with a Muta lock. So that's interesting. And then number one contenders, a tag team championship number one contender match, Cassius Ohno and Corey Graves against Scott Dawson and Garrett Dillon. Scott Dawson and Garrett Dillon have Sylvester Lefort in their corner.
Who?
The French Stallion.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to make his television debut by the looks of it.
In somebody's corner,
yeah.
Oh, whatever. He's charismatic as hell. Look, you guys see this guy.
Yeah.
He's very entertaining. Very interesting guy.
And now that I look at it, it might be Garrett.
Great deal.
It might be Garrett Dillon that's the son of Chris. I'll look it up in a minute.
It doesn't matter that much.
It really doesn't. The Wyatt family. Okay, so Corey Graves and Cassius Ohno become the number one contenders, beating Scott Dawson and Garrett Dillon. Makes sense. Graves won the match, and then the Wyatt family runs in, and. Aaron Neville runs out, but he was jumped by Dillon and Dawson. The five of them worked over everyone until William Regal made the save. However, Regal couldn't overcome their numbers and was beaten down to end the episode. So
he's semi retired, as he said.
That's right. That was good. Okay, so wait a minute. I didn't see that. What am I missing?
And instead of The Miz, he should be doing color commentary on Main Event. In fact, he should probably be on Raw instead of Kane.
I think I missed a whole... Oh, I missed two matches here. Scott Dawson and Garrett Dillon with Sylvester LaFort won a squash match on the one that's airing June 12th. So they made their debut there, and then that's when they get the title shot. And they have a El Generico, Sami Zayn versus Antonio Cesaro rematch that Cesaro wins with the neutralizer. Because even in NXT, there's 50-50 booking.
Of course.
But apparently worth to go out of your way to see. So,
okay. Unlike the other one.
Yes. Look, I'm just looking at the notes here that they've got.
Where's the singles kid? Can you hurt or something?
He's not anymore, and that's the...
Or is Great of him nothing for him?
Yeah, I think that's basically what it is. Is nobody's got anything for him, but I don't see why you just don't keep having matches in NXT.
And it's NXT. Who gives
a fuck? Well, that's exactly right. So, I mean, look at the guys that are in here. Big E Langston's there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why you can't have Richie Steamboat doing stuff. But
Richie Steamboat versus Bo Dallas. Go ahead, poke it.
Yeah, exactly. It appears
who
they're starting
to... Who was it that he had to angle with?
Cassius Ohno. Yeah, because Ohno had it with Ricky Steamboat, too.
Yeah.
Now, Ricky's not down there anymore.
No.
I don't know how much that plays into things.
Maybe a little bit.
So,
like I said, I never saw a single kid's name again.
Richie. Yeah.
I never saw as much in him, but I also don't see as much in Bo Dallas, so.
No, that's true.
I don't see them as often as these guys, so.
No, and, Mickey Keegan, who I thought was the Chris Thompson, used to be known as Axel Keegan. He's renamed, probably because of Curtis Axel.
Obviously.
And Dawson and Dillon.
Did you ever hear Axel Keegan on your cargo? A bitch.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Dawson and Dillon, with Professor Ford, they says that whoever wrote this in says they remind me of an old 80s NWA tag team with their look and the way they work. So we'll see. I'll have a look at
that. All right, let's get the hell out of here.
Let us get the Rock out of here. Let's do some thugging and plugging here. We are at ADDIE at WeTalkWrestling.com if you'd like to send us an email and ask us some questions like the Vanable did today, a good question about Hulkamania and Hulk Hogan. We always appreciate those, and we can get to more of those. Have a couple in the bank. But
look, on Saturday, Sunday, sometime this weekend, we're going to put up our live audio commentary.
We did.
Extreme Rules that we did, and then, like I say, Monday, we'll have pre and post Raw thoughts. And then Thursday, we're going to be talking, or we're going to go into the Mick Foley show.
Mick Foley comedy show.
We'll pre and post on that.
We'll do the news. What if there's this news? And we'll talk about the Foley experience as well, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, lots of stuff coming up to download from us here in the next little while. Other than that, Stitcher, right?
We are on Stitcher. We happen to be on iTunes as well. And we really love it when you write a comment and give us a rating on iTunes. Can't tell you much how much that helps us, really, in reality. And there's a lot of good comments already on there. Help us kind of mold the show and what you like and what you don't like. And, I mean, as long as you give us a top rating, then I don't care. No.
Yeah, exactly.
But it does help, and it's very much appreciated.
Give us a five-star rating, as you should, and we'll be good.
Yeah, but anyway, seriously though, that does really help us out in promoting the show and doing that. So gets the word out more than you know. So that does help. WeTalkWrestling.com is also the website where you can go and get some of the shows and it's updated, as well as at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter and facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling on Facebook there.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we're OUT.
I think that's going to do it. So for yet another week, or at the very least until Monday, in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, I think you ought to redo the lyrics to the last part again there. So try something new.
Why?
It didn't work. Give us something. Your mom.
That's offensive.